you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ooh, that feels good. Oh, I like that. Oh, man, that's good. Oh, that's really good. Yeah. No, 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 don't do that. Oh, yes.
Hollywood, can you handle this?
Can anyone smell that?
Ralph the host, I was thinking, like, ah, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
He's funny, you know. Not funny, ha-ha, funny, quick. He likes to go with men instead of women.
Of course not. What an idiotic question. And extremely insulting to me and to my husband. Of course not. And it's silly.
Let's Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshole?
If it was Asshole.
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken.
That's a good point. Oh, wait, no. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
It's also a, what was I just going to say? It just went away.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Roll another one. Just like the other. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Are there other black nerds, or is it just you and Urkel?
How much pot did you smoke?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
Marijuana is just nature's way of
saying. I don't have another cent.
Smoking doobies. Doobie Brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brothers.
Get me so high when I smoke my bong all day long. Yeah, baby.
Our feature presentation.
Our listeners do good work.
They certainly do.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it's Friday the 13th of Aprilingus.
Yes, we're the L.A. Clippers.
Stop it.
Come on. L.A. Clippers. L.A. Clippers number one.
Yes, King.
Another Kobe miss, another Tim Thomas Clipper rebound. Casale has it. Here's McGinnity at the other end, and this will put the dagger in the Lakers.
That is ball game there, and that is a huge, huge win for the LA Clippers.
A rebound by Brand, and that'll do it. Down by 17 points. The Clippers have come back to win this game over the Los Angeles Lakers. By a 118-110 count, I don't know that they've had a bigger win this season.
What happened in that last 9 minutes? Kevin, you're Mr. Laker. Psycho Mike, you're Mr. Laker. What happened?
Well, we didn't make any points.
You know,
the Lakers actually have to keep scoring to win the game. And
I think it was 26-8 Clippers-Lakers in that last 9 minutes.
Yeah. Kobe had 50, but he didn't score, I don't think, in the last 8 minutes, was it, or something like that?
Yeah. Well, 50 is not enough. You got to get more than 50 out of Kobe if you're going to win.
19 points in the third, and then like four in the fourth.
Couple, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah.
Let me ask you this, because we all know that it's easy to relax a little bit if you don't need it as bad. I mean, the Clippers needed it, and they needed it badly, and they needed it last night.
Exactly.
And I mean, I'm just asking if you think that they just had a little more want in them. They just turned it on.
The Lakers had that seventh place in the playoffs complacency.
That's right. You know how easy it is to just settle on your laurels, man, when you got that seventh seed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys realize there's only a half game up on the Clippers now?
I thought we were a game and a half still. Game Lakers. Half. Game and a half, dude. Game and a half.
No, they lost the last night. So now
game and a half, bitch. Half even game. With last night.
Dude, if you,
I'll bet you another 20 on that. I'll bet you another 20 credits on that.
If you want, I'll take 25 credits right now for the season bet.
How dare you? How dare you?
Hey, King, you were at the game last night, I hear?
I was, yes.
Yeah.
It was awesome because, you know, all the Lakers fans around me, they're all cheering all day. Ooh, Kobe this, Kobe that. Then by the end of the day, Elton Brand, baby.
Yeah, it turns out two players scoring over 30 or above is a little better than one player scoring 50. Turns out that's true.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Dave, let me ask you this. Was this a home Laker game or a home Clipper game?
It was a home Laker game.
Okay. Were there a lot of Clippers fans in attendance, or do you really feel like you were on your own out there?
You know, this time it felt like I was on my own.
Excellent. Really?
it was very heavy.
Yeah, it's a game and a half, right?
Game and a half,
bitch. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, he just walked in. I guess I can hang up.
We just had him on the phone. How about that? Hi, Dave.
That was really kind of freaky. Hey. Yeah, it's game and a half, dude. I just have to tell you that, but
game and a half, really?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now on NBA.com.
After losing to you, it's a game and a half.
No way. All right, how many games are left, guys?
Is it
three or four?
Three or four. There's a different
Lakers
number for
each
team.
Three. Clippers have four.
Four. Right. Yes.
And can the Clippers, of course, have been a little bit streaky of late, but if they don't, is it possible they still cannot make the playoffs, and they might not make
absolutely.
The playoffs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
What I thought.
Absolutely. They play Phoenix, too, which is a tough team. So are the Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers play Phoenix tomorrow night, and Clippers play them next Tuesday, I think.
Yeah,
Clippers lose a couple games, Golden State wins a couple games.
Boom, out.
Yeah.
Right now, Clippers are in the eighth spot. They hold a tiebreaker over...
They're tied.
Yeah.
For the eighth spot.
They're tied for the eighth spot. They hold a tiebreaker. Over the Warriors.
Right.
And the Clippers, I mean, the Lakers are, I think, a game and a half. I don't think NBA.com's updated.
Well, that could be true.
What does it say behind the Lakers, like, the streak?
Are you alive?
It is updated because it says...
Doesn't he sound like he's talking in slow motion?
The Lakers are...
It's updated because it says L.A. Clippers win a streak. Win one. L.A.
Dude,
Lakers
listen
three.
To me. Game and a half, bitch.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I got an email from somebody saying, remember, the King of Mexico takes pesos.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, you may be saying game and a half, bitch, but if I could speak for my client, Dave Sanchez, pay the man.
Yeah.
He's your client.
Pay the man,
now. Is, what,
pay
is,
the man
is what my client is asking.
Woo!
Right now.
You hired Bean to represent you?
Apparently, yeah.
Dave needed an enforcer. He wasn't getting his bets paid in a timely fashion, so he needed to hire somebody to go in there for him.
Break my knees? What? I forget how much we bet.
Well, you had one bet for 20 credits on last night's game, and then you have a separate bet on whether the Clippers make the number 7 seed or not.
Yeah, there's,
that's
there's,
right.
There's credits all around, but
so
as far as last
credits.
Night, it's 20 credits.
Oh, man.
Right. You guys see The Office last night where they're betting on every single thing that happens
yeah.
in The Office?
That was
that
awesome.
It was a fantastic episode, wasn't it?
The character, the fat guy, Kevin, is like, oh,
Kevin.
Man, ever since the Final Four is over, I just find a big void in my life. So they were betting on, like, what people were going to say, what they're going to do. If I could feed that dude, a potato instead of an apple, and he would notice, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't watch The Office. I was too busy watching
the Clippers come back from 17!
Hey, King, why don't you step outside? I mean, I'm your representation and all, but I'm even tiring of you at this point. Why don't you step outside and answer phones, all right? Why don't you do that?
never have two teams that are just about to not make the playoffs had more trash talking.
I know, it's true.
It's really not right.
Oh, yeah? You're number 8? Well, you're number 7, man.
That's not really good trash talking, is it?
No.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Apparently, Lisa May got all hot and bothered by hearing about Desire Cancun yesterday from our KREC listeners and went down for that Swingers Week. Apparently, it sounded too good to wait. I think she was on a plane at like 11:30 yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, she's
morning,
she's
say.
Calling in sick, in quotes, today.
Yeah. Yeah, we all know when somebody on Thursday says, guys, I don't know, man, it's starting to come on, I'm not feeling very good, we all know that they're looking at a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. We have Judy Levitt, though. Good morning, Judy.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
We're very good, thank you.
Good.
All right.
We apologize in advance because we know you're going to be calling the boss and writing a strongly worded letter after the show. We don't mean to offend.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't.
Just by the stuff that's coming out of your mouth today?
Well, yeah.
You're
not a nappy-headed hoe, are you?
No. yeah. No.
She is.
Oh, start it!
Wait a minute. If she is, then we're fine.
Oh, right? That's true. As long as she is. Oh. Okay, good.
As long as you are.
Yeah.
Because if she's not, then they get all upset. You know how they are. All right. So what's on today's Kevin? I'm just teasing.
Today we're going to play, is the King of Mexico smarter than a fifth grader?
Well, he's certainly richer than a fifth grader now, I'll tell you
that. Yeah, unfortunately. We did it with me, I passed. We did it with Lisa, she passed.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty sure Dave's going to fail terribly.
I think he'll do worse than Lightning did. And I think Lightning did poorly.
Yeah. I think we should ask him fourth and fifth grade Spanish-speaking questions, since he is the King of Mexico. He would fail those immediately. We got the movie beat today because it's Friday. We'll tell you all about that.
A lot of stuff opening today. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what Ralph has to say.
We were telling you last weekend about K-Rock Day at Santa Anita and the beer pong and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we have Omar run a tape because Lightning's the guy on the mic. And we need an intervention because I think we have a serious problem with Lightning.
Well, they shouldn't give him a mic. We should have learned that by now.
For a long time, we've been glad that he likes that because we don't. We don't want to be up there trying to hype people up the whole time. So we're kind of happy that he takes that from us, but he might just be getting a little carried away. That's all. I mean, really, at the point when people's ears are bleeding, you need to kind of just, I don't know, back off a bit.
And the K-Rock microphones were there, I'm guessing.
Yes, they were. Also, Paul Tracy from the Long Beach Grand Prix, we're going to talk today. We have some great tape from Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson on the Duke lacrosse team and that whole rape charge. Pretty fascinating stuff, and I'm guessing they're not going to apologize for that.
Probably not.
But it's pretty good stuff. Also, Money, we're going to talk to you about the Lakers and Clippers.
Former sports guy Money will lay out the playoff scenario for us. And by the way, we might also ask him because I guess tomorrow is the date that the International Olympic Committee is going to announce whether Los Angeles or Chicago is the U.S. final city. You know, doesn't mean they get the Olympics. It means they're still in the running for the Olympics. I mean, the L.A. 2016 dream bid could be over tomorrow if they pick Chicago. As a guy, you know, from Chicago who now lives in L.A., I'd be curious to hear what Money has to say about that.
2016? That's what they're working on now?
Yeah, wow. You need a lot of lead time for getting ready for an Olympics.
My God, I don't know what's happening next week, and they're planning for the 2016 Olympics.
I know. I'm glad they don't give that job to us, because we'd wait until the night before 2016, and then we'd make a decision.
Unbelievable.
Start working on it.
Also, today we're going to talk to Dave Willis, who is the co-creator of Aqua Teen. They got their new movie coming out, which is, it's weird. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty bizarre.
I haven't. I don't know a thing about Aqua Teen, but I know it's one of those Adult Swim shows that is just immensely popular.
Yeah, it's huge. So we're going to talk to them today. If you missed Shia LaBeouf from Disturbia, which also opens today, we've got that in about a half hour. And Chris Pronger from the Ducks coming up, too, on the Kevin and Bean Show. 542, we got the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next.
I think Tom Morello has committed to coming into the Kevin and Bean Show ahead of Rage Against the Machine's reunion at Coachella. So we'll finally get a chance to ask all the questions that we've all been having ever since we heard the news. So.
Angriest, most bitter a-hole in the world, man. Picks fights everywhere he goes. He just destroys
pretty much a pacifist,
studios.
Really.
Super nice.
Not, yeah.
Easy
not
going?
At all. Yeah. Gets along with everybody, actually.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking of John Mayer.
Yeah. Never got it.
It's very different. It's Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat. What the hell's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Richie Sambora of Bon Jovi and Heather Locklear. They're now officially divorced.
Sweet.
Richie can go back to banging the Ice Princess, Denise Richards, and Heather Locklear can bang David Spade or whoever she's banging. So.
Right.
Because they were stopping. They were holding back.
Until
now that they're officially divorced, they can start seeing other people.
That's good news.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's an interesting story. Legendary Queen guitarist Brian May has added his band to the list of musical artists that are part of the Ben and Jerry ice cream empire. You know, they've had Cherry Garcia for some time, inspired by the Grateful Dead guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And Fish Food, of course, after the band Fish.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Dave Matthews has a flavor.
One Sweet World, that one's called.
I thought it was Rhyme and Raisin. No?
No, One Sweet World.
Should be Rhyme and Raisin.
It should be. Apparently, the Queen flavor will be Bohemian Raspberry.
Yes!
Wow.
Woo! Woo!
All right.
That is deserving of an email. I should start whipping out emails for Bohemian Rhapsody for that one.
Exactly.
That was pretty spectacular.
You want to sing along with that song?
I love the puns right there. Got to give me some of that. Halle Berry got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame last week, and apparently grossed a ton of people out when she bent over and kissed it. Because it's on Hollywood Boulevard there.
Oh, kiss it.
Well, if it makes her feel any better, it's a brand new star that has been covered since it was laid into the cement. I mean, yeah. It's not like it's a star that's been out there for 25 years and bums have been peeing on it.
Still, though.
How do you know? Maybe they put it in the night before.
Germs can jump around and stuff. I've seen specials on it.
Have you? Yeah, I don't recommend licking the sidewalk in Hollywood. I don't recommend that. But I'm just saying it's not as bad as if she'd kissed, you know, somebody else's star.
Kiss it.
Anyway, in retrospect, she said maybe it wasn't the brightest thing to do when someone asked her if that was unsanitary or not. But she said she did feel afterwards that she did start thinking about how many derelicts, drug addicts, and drunks had been there on Hollywood Boulevard before she put her lips on it.
Yeah.
But she
that
said
isn't good for you.
She had to do it because she felt so proud. Because, well, you know, she's a vessel.
She is a vessel.
She's a vessel. Yeah. Let's never forget she's a vessel.
Kicking down doors, if I remember correctly.
She's a vessel with an Oscar who now makes Bruce Willis movies. So, good for you.
Hey, don't disparage Bruce Willis movies. I love him.
But this one, have you seen it? We'll talk about it, movie beat. Give me a break with this.
I was going to ask how that looked to you, Ralph, but I think you just answered that.
I'm in.
Courtney Love's people are fighting rumors that her rapid and extremely successful recent weight loss was due to gastric band surgery more than the macrobiotic diet she's been telling everyone.
That's so hot.
She had her stomach stapled? Is that what that is?
Well, they don't always staple them. Sometimes they put these, like, a giant rubber band around your stomach, and what it does is it closes off a portion of your stomach, reduces the size of your stomach.
It's literally a rubber band.
Literally a surgical rubber band, and then they can go back in and remove it afterwards if you decide to. It's less permanent than the stapling or the surgery where they actually cut out part of the stomach.
Why do people care so much how people lose weight? I've never understood that.
I don't know that
either,
quite frankly.
Who cares how she did it? It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think maybe the point of this story is she's been going around saying, oh, I'm macrobiotic now and I'm eating so specially and stuff. And she's been pumping that up when in reality it may have been another source.
I got you.
Friends say that she's been so ill since the surgery, this is according to the New York Post, that she has to sleep with a towel.
Oh, no.
In case she vomits in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
Very and
sexy.
She said she also worries about her breath, which apparently has just been rancid and foul since the operation.
Oh.
Just when I thought Courtney Love couldn't get any more disgusting.
God.
Now I know she's got green fumes coming out of her mouth when she talks to you.
Oh.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yes.
Enjoy your breakfast.
No,
you know, a lot of the reality TV stars parlay their newfound fame into a nice gig in Playboy magazine or some other men's magazine. Been done
as they should.
As they should. But apparently, Ian Ziering won't be one of those stars.
Oh, that's too bad.
The stud from Dancing with the Stars has been asked to strip down for Playgirl magazine.
Not going
to
do it.
They said they'll give him $100,000 to show his junk, and he said no.
100 grand?
Yeah.
I can't believe that Playgirl still exists. That's a magazine that I haven't heard anyone mention. It seems like
true.
Years, Ralph.
What is their subscription rate like?
I mean, do they still have, I guess they do if they're making this offer, they still have naked guys in it?
Well,
what am I asking you for? Psycho Mike, what's up with Playgirl?
Yeah,
is it still around?
Oh, it's never been more successful.
You making that up?
No, I read it every month.
Seriously, though.
He's
the,
making it up.
The lead singer from Typo Negative was just in there. You guys got a huge response.
Okay. We asked the wrong guy.
No, we asked the right guy, apparently.
But, I mean, not for the wrong information. If we were looking for penis size, he's the right guy.
Yep. Mark Wahlberg's filming a new movie called The Fighter. It's a boxing movie, as you can imagine from the title. According to Star Magazine, he was sparring with amateur boxer Brian Nguyen, who was one of his co-stars in the movie. And apparently, Brian encouraged him to put some more power behind his punches so it looked more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
According to Star Magazine, Mark opened it up and sent Brian to the hospital.
Boom!
He's ended up overnight with dizzy spells for the past few days. Docs eventually sent him home to recover, but Mark is paying all the hospital bills and visiting him constantly. He feels so bad about it. See, that's why I'm glad Drunkbox didn't happen, because I don't want to have to pay Dave's medical bills and visit him every day. And
for the rest of his life?
After I cripple him.
In a coma?
That wouldn't be good.
And we know Dave doesn't have insurance. You have to go to the emergency room.
Man, hey, Imus Jr., you're just trying to get yourself booted, aren't you?
What? I'm just saying Dave works at K-Rock. You think he's got medical insurance? He answers her phones. Come on.
Oh
you thought it had something to do with because he's Mexican?
Mexican?
How dare you?
Well, you know, Mexicans
I'm
insurance.
I'm offended that you even think of it.
Mexicans insurance don't always go hand in hand.
Oh, now look.
Now I see what you're saying.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Joe Francis, Girls Gone Wild creator.
Oh. Now what?
He's just an a-hole, just an idiot.
More trouble?
More trouble. He got busted now in prison by offering to bribe a guard $100 for a bottle of water.
What?
The guard refused, and Francis upped the offer to $500 and flashed the cash. And that's a no-no, because you can't have cash in jail.
How did he get it in his ass?
They don't know. But he was trying to bribe a guard for a bottle of drinking water. And then when they went into the cell, they found out why he wanted the water. He had 16 prescription pills under his mattress and under a towel on the table.
Right.
Dude.
Lunesta, which I'm guessing is a sleep medication.
It is.
That's right. Yep.
And lorazepam, an anti-anxiety drug.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of the drugs have been prescribed by the prison doctor, so that resulted in more charges. He smuggled prescription medication into his cell.
Forgive me for
or
not knowing this.
Or someone passed it to him.
Okay, I was going to say, to smuggle something in, it has to be up your ass, right? I mean, there's no other way to do it.
Not really.
That's you the know, option.
All this is telling us, Ralph, is that the guards already hate him after a day because, let's face it, what guard turns a guy in for trying to bribe him? I mean, that's how that system works in there, is you bribe the guards for whatever you need. But clearly, this guy's an a-hole. They didn't even want to take his money.
So far, he's been popped at the airport before because he wouldn't turn himself in.
Right.
Then he's got these tax charges that were filed against
Federal
charges from the IRS. And now he's got popped for trying to bribe a guard and having contraband in prison.
It's going to be a long sentence for Joe Francis the way he's going.
Dude's going to get the chair in about 2 weeks.
Quickest chair ever.
Apparently, they brought him back in the courtroom, charged him again, sent him back, and Francis was reportedly crying as he was led out of the courtroom. Well, don't be an idiot.
Ben. Hey, why couldn't a guy like him, worth so much money, why couldn't he get out on bail? I'm surprised he's still in prison.
Probably because he was a flight risk originally that they had to go get him.
That's a good point, because he didn't turn himself in. You're absolutely right.
Well, he was on his way.
Yeah.
But sure.
And he's got all the money in the world, so he's definitely a flight risk. Yeah. I'm sure he's got
that's a good point.
I
withdraw the question.
All right. Defense rests. And weekend TV highlights. I'm going to check this out. Shia LaBeouf.
LaBeouf.
Who stars in Suburbia.
Or Disturbia.
What did I say?
Suburbia.
Suburbia.
I think I said Disturbia.
Okay.
But
Disturbia it is.
Anyway, he hosts this weekend's edition of Saturday Night Live with musical guest Avril Lavigne, if you want to check that out.
She's a midget. You guys know that?
She is a tiny, tiny thing.
Really small. Not large in stature.
Are you saying she's big?
I'm saying she's not very big.
Oh, not
big. Quite small.
She doesn't cover a lot of area?
That's correct.
Oh. Did you say she's a towering person?
I would say her stature is quite the opposite.
Hmm. Would you call her gangly or rangy?
I wouldn't.
No. Curious about that. Congratulations to Drew Barrymore. She just scored one of the most coveted jobs in show business. She's the new face of CoverGirl Cosmetics.
We cool.
What?
That's a nice payday for somebody. CoverGirl, when you're the CoverGirl for CoverGirl? Dude.
That's big money.
Big coin right there. What's the quizzical look on your face for, Kevin? Why don't you understand?
She doesn't strike me as CoverGirl.
You don't think she's pretty?
Nope.
No.
Oh.
I mean, kind of.
Oh, Dewan's going to cut you.
Kind of.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Kevin, what are you talking about?
Kind of cute. I'd go cute, but no, not.
Well, that's sort of their demo. They don't do like L'Oreal sort of high fashion kind of commercials.
Yeah, CoverGirl, they do fresh-faced
sort of,
regular girls.
Right, that's the girl next door, CoverGirl, cosmetics, that's
okay.
What it is, so. Anyway, she's going to make a lot of money, so good for her. She'll be doing commercials starting soon.
She can support Dewan in the way he's become accustomed to.
That's right.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ron Perlman, talented actor, most recently seen, I guess, in Hellboy. He's 57 years old today. He's going to be doing a sequel to that soon. Lisa Umbarger from the Toadies, she's the bassist. She's 42 years old today.
And Rick...
No, stop it.
Oh, sorry.
And Rick Schroeder. You knew him as one of my co-stars on NYPD Blue, and now he can be seen as Mike Doyle on 24. He's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, you know, your birthday was last month, and I'm checking to find out where your gift is, because
oh,
it's lost
on.
Someplace in the mail.
It's true. I didn't make it up. I'm telling you.
Every gift you ever give get lost.
Oh, that's just
with
not
your
true.
Precious mail. Oh, it's not here yet. Oh, it's too
bad.
It's on the way.
Maybe if these people had sent it via the U.S. Post Office, it wouldn't be lost. But instead, they sent it freaking UPS.
It's amazing. Every gift he sends doesn't get sent out to people, and every gift he receives, he doesn't use.
Right? Exactly. He doesn't like them. Doesn't use them.
All I'm saying is your birthday was what now? A week ago? Two weeks ago?
2 weeks ago. Like
that. I'm just saying I expected your gift to have arrived in time. It did not.
Right.
And I want to let you know that it is, in fact, on the way as soon as it gets tracked.
As soon as you order it.
No, it's been long ago. I can't win this one. It's 6:38 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Former sports guy Money on the program today. Also, the Aqua Teen Hunger Force guy. He's the genius behind the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He's going to be on the program today. And we have, this is late breaking. We didn't know this until this morning. We have tickets for you for tonight's Ducks Wild game at the Honda Center. You can win them when we play our new game. Is Dave the King of Mexico smarter than a fifth grader? That's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That is the phone number, 24 hours a day. We got a call about it another day part. Another show that's on here on K-Rock.
What's up, guys? I was listening to Love Line this evening and found out that Swollen Vagina has just been added to the list at the Weenie Roast this summer.
Oh, Swollen Vagina. Good to hear it.
Looking forward to seeing them, yeah.
Good to hear it. People call occasionally from the desert, from the no man's land of the 909.
Dude, mm-hmm. I just saw the Geico, the caveman, walking down the streets in the 909. Wait a minute. There's another one. Oh, they all look alike out here. God damn. I miss Los Angeles.
By the way, now Cavemen and Geico are going to start protesting the radio station. We'll probably get fired, man. Thanks a lot.
King of Mexico calls.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. What up? It's Dave, the King of Mexico. I just got back from the Clipper-Laker game at Staples Center, and here's a recap. Kobe scores, Brand scores. Kobe scores. Kobe scores, Brand scores. Kobe, Brand. Kobe, Brand. Clippers win. Anyways. Kevin, 16 days, 20 hours, 58 minutes, and 57 seconds till Rage Against the Machine.
That's right.
Takes the stage. Don't break them up.
Can't wait. I'm not... Why would I want to? It's my favorite band of all time.
Well, it was your favorite band of all time last time you broke them up. That's our concern, is you can't be trusted with nice things.
Hey, Bean. If the season ended today...
Yes?
We'd be spared a lot of boring baseball games.
Oh, how dare you. By the way, for the record, the Mariners have had 5 of their last 7 games rained or snowed out. Apparently, God doesn't even want the Mariners
God
to play
hates
anymore.
Them. God hates baseball, as a matter of fact.
5 out of 7 games not played in the last week. That's how my season's going.
We bet on a lot of stuff around here, and here's one that we hadn't thought of.
All right, Psycho Mike, seriously, how much credits would it take for you to wrap those gorgeous lips of yours around Stryker's tail? How much?
Oh. That's a great question because Mike, as you know, is really like made ill by the thought of Stryker's tail.
How many credits, Mike?
Let's see.
Seriously.
I'm going to say 8.
8 credits?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Now, is a credit a dollar or is it millions?
Million? What is it? What's your credit?
Well, yeah, I'm going to
say
like 8.
You were throwing
eight
up
bucks.
In the back of the room when we were talking about
just
it.
The thought of a tail. Now you're talking about touching it with your mouth?
Yeah, but it's Stryker. The handsome man.
Okay.
Wow, that's, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you talk about turning him over. Yeah, for $8, you go there, but his tail.
Do I get the other side, too, while I'm down there?
Oh, see, this is why he's troubling.
I'm asking.
That's why this guy's calling.
This message is for Psycho Mike's gas. Ding, 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 ding. What if I really was gay? Wanna all in your face.
Oh.
What would you do? You say you want me, but all I want to is bone you.
See what he did?
Bone you.
You got boys calling up and singing to you now, Mike. No wonder you love this job.
Yeah.
Yesterday at the end of the show, I caught something, but I didn't say anything about it on the air. And I asked Bean about it afterwards, and he copped to it. But this K-Rock listener wants to bust you publicly.
Wait, whoa. Hold on a second. Did I just hear Bean at the end of the show just now when he was announcing the bands that are coming up next in the next hour say, among other things, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Natch? Natch? Really, Bean? Natch? You think you're pulling off Natch? Yeah, you know what, Bean? Yeah, you're a douchebag. Natch? God damn it.
Really? Doesn't fly? Doesn't stand for naturally?
I don't think that Natch is on the lips of anyone anymore, dude.
Really?
That was a really short-lived, stupid moment.
I don't remember. I don't remember a time when Natch was popular or trendy. It's just I thought it was acceptable as a shortened version of naturally.
No, you die for that.
Hear your scorn and accept it.
You have to take your own life now. 323-520 Afro, 24 hours a day. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K Rock 106.7 KROQ.
No, I am not listening.
653.
No, sir.
You are, though.
No, I am not.
How are you responding to what I'm saying?
Damn.
Yes.
Oh. Got you there.
How do you battle
like
a brain
freaking
like
lawyer?
That.
Jeez, it's like talking to Dr. House.
Hey, by the way, that is the audience live on K-Rock, and we had Chris Cornell in the studio recently where we interviewed him, and he performed a bunch of songs for us with his band, including that one. And if you missed it, that's the type of thing that we put up and leave up at krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section. You can hear the whole Chris Cornell interview today, for instance, if this is the first you're hearing about it. So you might want to check that out. Killers on the way, also Incubus, New Linkin Park, and more. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat at 652. What's going on, Ralph?
You can thank me later.
Okay.
Because now I'm going to give you the greatest showbiz story of the year.
Fantastic.
Greatest of the year.
Yes.
Okay. You're all going to scream in unison when I do it. You're going to cheer.
Who
you're
died?
You're going to dance.
Rosie O'Donnell died?
No.
Oh.
It's not that good.
No.
It's not the greatest story ever. It's just the greatest one of the year.
All right.
Okay. Lindsay Lohan's got a new boyfriend, if you believe the National Enquirer.
Who would we be upset by?
Not upset. You're going to just cheer.
Harold.
You're going to be happy.
All right. Can I guess?
According to the tabloid, yeah, if you want to.
Just by the setup, just by the way you've sucked us in here, I can't imagine anything better than Kevin Federline.
Kevin Federline.
No
way! No, no.
Kevin Federline and Lindsay Lohan.
Damn it!
That's not
what I wanted.
Psycho Mike's choking on his oatmeal.
That's too good to be true.
Greatest story.
Are you serious?
Greatest show story of the year or what?
Of the year. Ladies and gentlemen.
What's the evidence on this?
Tabloid reports that Kevin was invited by Lindsay Lohan to L'Hermitage Hotel in Beverly Hills.
Okay. Yes.
She asked him to join her for a drink, supposedly to talk about business.
To talk about business?
She claimed that there was some a film project that Lohan thought perhaps Federline would be appropriate for. Federline showed up with his manager. And reportedly, Lindsay suggested the pair speak in private.
Oh.
Where they retired to her suite. Source close to the new couple says, Kevin and Lindsay are dating. Lindsay made the first move. Kevin met Lindsay through Brittany, and Lindsay was always flirtatious with him. Apparently, according to the National Enquirer, they spent a steamy afternoon together in the Los Angeles Hotel, and then he spent the night.
Pork!
Come on. No way. Doesn't she know he's Kevin Federline?
What in
National
God's
Enquirer
name
claims
is going
the
on?
The couple made love. How they would know that, I don't know. But reportedly, they did have a meeting at L'Hermitage Hotel.
Pork!
That's fantastic.
Lindsay Lohan and K-Fed.
I've always heard that women find guys attractive that other women find attractive, right?
Yeah.
That whole thing. But it can't stretch all the way down to K-Fed.
Come on.
Who's your whore?
That is
Lindsay is
awesome.
Yeah. Is that the greatest thing ever?
Wow. It's
spokespeople for Lohan are denying the story, by the way.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's like an earthquake. I mean, it's you can't even get your head around it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like, why go on?
I knew yesterday when the just winds of hell were howling around Los Angeles, unlike anything I'd ever seen.
Yeah, it was
in 20 years in Los Angeles.
Strangest, windiest day ever.
I said, it's the end of the world. It feels like the end of the world. It looks like it feels like the blowback from some nuclear holocaust or something.
Yeah, you're right.
And now I know why. Because Lindsay Lohan slept with Kevin Federline. And God just said, enough.
Enough already.
He's going to wipe that city off the planet.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel thought that it was God punishing us all for voting for Sanjaya.
Oh.
But it could be that as well, K-Fed.
Is Ashton Kutcher already on the phone, I hope? Like,
to do the bit, you mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. We'll get him. Don't worry.
Oh.
My
I got
exploded.
You. I got you.
Yeah.
I went right to Punk for some reason, but I forgot he does our K-Fed.
Yeah.
Katherine Heigl's time on Grey's Anatomy may be coming to an end.
No, don't say that.
Stop. That's the gayest thing
yes,
you've ever
it was.
Said. No, don't
Natch,
say that.
Natch.
It's like a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
The puppy's dead.
No, don't say that.
Star Magazine reports that Catherine has ticked off producers when she publicly complained she wasn't making enough money and tried to renegotiate her contract. Although she currently is under contract, insiders are saying that Dr. Izzy Stevens could have a shortened storyline on the series, and she may take a job in some other city at some other hospital.
Pay her whatever she wants. She's worth it.
Oh, stop it with the Heigl.
Well, you know how much I was obsessed with her for every week of Roswell for 4 years, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I think her teeth are cute.
You know Orlando Bloom?
Is that the gayest thing I've ever said?
Yes.
All right.
Was just bitching this week how he couldn't find love. He can't find a date when the show business is so hard.
It's always in a different city.
According to Us Weekly Magazine, he's got a new girlfriend. It's Victoria's Secret supermodel Miranda Kerr.
God damn it.
Shut up. Is that what you have to put up with, Orlando? Oh, you can't find true love, so you just have to bang Victoria's Secret models?
Well, he's
screw you, you scrawny limey. God damn it. Oh, it's so old, I can't find love. I just have to have sex with all these models. F him.
Victoria's Secret model.
Victoria's Secret.
Shut up.
And it's not always great to be Justin Timberlake.
It isn't.
Not always. This week he had to do some press. He did a press junket for Shrek the Third, the third in the animated Shrek series.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And while he was sitting there on the dais talking to the press, he had to sit next to his ex-girlfriend Cameron Diaz.
Oh.
Ouch.
And the reporters kept lobbing questions about Britney Spears to him about her rehab situation, whether he was in touch with her and support of her. So he's sitting next to an ex-girlfriend answering questions about another ex-girlfriend.
That's funny.
That can't be comfortable.
No, I don't care who you are. You're right.
I don't care who you are, yeah. So that's bad news. Currently, Justin's working with Madonna on her new CD, apparently.
Really?
And Madonna, when she finishes up that work, is taking off to Malawi again to get another baby.
What is this new craze?
I have no idea. Months after bringing home her latest addition, David, to the family, the New York Post says that the Ritchie family's going out again to Malawi may have another child by Sunday.
Do they just get tired of them after a few months? They need to get some new ones in there to keep their interest?
Hold on. It's Friday.
I know.
They're going to go to Malawi and have a kid by Sunday?
That's what the New York Post says.
Are they just going to grab the first kid they see and run?
One in the airport. If they see one in the airport, they're just going to put stuff them in the overhead luggage compartment and just take back off.
What is going on?
I have no idea. But I'm just really happy that there are no American kids who need parents.
That is true. The problem is that is all taken care of.
All the orphanages in America are just ghost towns, just empty.
Yeah, empty.
You could swing a dead cat around there and not hit a kid.
Never thought we'd see the time.
We're just out of kids here. We are out of kids.
What is it about Malawi, by the way, is so attractive to her, I wonder?
I would imagine she's going back. That's where she went last time, right? I imagine she greased the wheels the first time. It's a lot easier to go back than go someplace else.
Yeah, now it's like a vending machine for her.
Puts in a quarter.
pulls the slot. A kid rolls out.
Kid comes out.
Yeah. A lot of time and money to bribe a new country.
She has to pull the slot, though. Let's not downplay that.
I think they like the Malawi Wowie. That's why they go there.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Smoke there is excellent.
Gotcha. Match.
Match. Real quick email before I get a celebrity birthdays. This comes from the Farbers. The entire family got together and wrote this one.
The whole family. Okay.
And they got a point. I have been kind of quiet on this subject.
Okay.
The Farbers say, Ralph, I've heard the other guys say a few things, but I haven't heard you mention anything about the Don Imus story.
Mm.
You're in radio. You're a strong proponent of First Amendment rights, and yet you haven't spoken about it one way or the other. Seems like with all the turmoil surrounding Don Imus that things are just getting overwhelming there at CBS Radio. But I'm really surprised that they had to fire him. They had already punished him and suspended him for 2 weeks without pay. Couldn't they just be happy with docking Donny Imus?
It took a family.
To take Donny Imus and flip it, it's actually Amadeus.
Donny Imus. Donny Imus.
Ducking Donny Imus. All right, stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. All right. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth.
Sorry, Lightning.
That's enough.
Easy. Man. Wow.
Turtle.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ron Perlman, who was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, and he's also Hellboy in the feature film and in the sequel. He's 57 years old today.
He's got a lot of facial deformities to work through, doesn't he? Still makes it as a successful actor. You got to give him credit.
You got to just slap makeup all over him. It's the only way you can get him on the screen.
Yep.
Singer Peebo Bryson celebrates his 56th birthday today.
Tiniest little head of any man in the world. Have you ever noticed that?
That's why he's Peebo. It's Peebo. He's head like a pea.
He's the opposite of me. Yeah.
Lisa Umbarger from the Toadies. She's the bassist. She's 42 years old today. And Rick Schroeder, who's Mike Doyle on 24, was on NYPD Blue, of course, as Sipowitz's partner for years. He's 37 years old today. He was also in Silver Spoons. Let's not forget that.
And The Champ. Remember The Champ?
What was The Champ? It was John Voight. It was a boxing movie where he played John Voight was his dad, and he was a boxer.
Mm.
Champ, are you okay, Champ? Wake up, Champ!
He dies.
Oh yeah, he dies at the end. And the kid's like rocking him on the training table because he won't come back to life.
Ralph Garman.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
You might know because you're an expert in cinema.
Yes.
What is the movie where Ricky Schroeder plays Brad Pitt's misfit brother, and they're both long distance runners?
What?
I swear to God, this movie exists.
TV movie?
You know it's true.
I know what you're talking about.
Is that a TV movie?
This is not a well-known movie. This has not come out, I don't think, in cinema and theaters.
Wow.
But it's the best.
I can't come up with it. I'll do a little research and get back to you on that.
Email Ralph at krock.com.
Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike at krock.com. Right. Psycho Mike.
If you have Dean at krock.com.
Kevin at krock.com.
I'm Ralph Garman.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
There's this dude in New York City, Don Imus. He's a DJ. He's been there for 40 years, I think. He's been there since the 60s.
Yeah, he has been in radio a long time. By the way, as a point of reference, Kevin, he got hired to work for our company about the same time you and I did. So I think it's interesting to see the kind of support he got from the company
after
all those years of service based on 2 seconds of ill-advised comedy.
So here's the thing. He calls the Rutgers women's basketball team nappy-headed hoes. I'm sure you've heard the story by now because it's everywhere. It's getting the amount of attention that it's getting is scary. And he got dropped by MSNBC. They were covering his show. And then CBS fired him yesterday. So now he's out of a job. And I don't really feel sorry for him. I don't really know him. I mean, as far as I know, he is racist. I don't know. But you talk for enough time, like we do, and you throw things out just offhandedly to try and entertain and be funny, as we do. And sometimes you say what is the opposite of what is supposed to be said just to get a laugh. I don't know if that's what he was doing or not. Mm-hmm. But it does scare me.
That's a reasonable assumption, though, knowing the kind of show that he does and the kind of show lots of morning radio people do, is he thought it would be funny to say that. I doubt he really means it, but it's hard to know what's in somebody's heart for sure.
Right, we don't know him. But it does scare us when people listen to Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. To me, that's a bad sign. Because those guys, if there's a camera and a black person, they're there.
That's true.
You see them ever standing up for white people? Never. And I don't expect them to. But you'd think there would be a little bit of care taken with who they're getting behind and all that kind of stuff. So now they've been screaming and yelling that he needs to be fired. He went on Al Sharpton's radio show, I guess, and said he was sorry about 100 times.
Right.
Not enough. And so they've been saying he needs to be fired, he needs to be fired, he needs to be fired. They went and talked to our company. Then he was fired.
And then he was fired, right? But help me out here, and maybe our listeners will know, too. How did Reverend Jackson and Reverend Sharpton, who I know a lot of people are very fond of, how did they get to be the go-to voice for the entirety of the millions of African-Americans in this country? Why are they the point people for an event like this? I mean, part of it is that they seek it out. Part of it is, as you say, they go with a camera crew to wherever the news is happening. And it almost seems like they assume that they're going to be asked to speak on behalf of whoever these people are. I mean, Sharpton and Jackson, they don't know the Rutgers women's basketball team. I'm sure they had never met them, probably never even heard of them. Yet all of a sudden they're out there speaking for them because they're offended. They figure the girls must be offended, too. It almost seems like they have kind of self-appointed themselves as spokespeople for black Americans.
I would say that's the reason. And I also think, I would imagine that there are a lot of black Americans who don't want them to speak for them. But you kind of just take for granted. When you see Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, you go, okay, here we go. And I'll give you a perfect example. Remember the Duke lacrosse team, that whole story?
Of course.
They had they hired a couple of strippers. They came over. One of them claimed that the guys raped her. And they quit the entire team at Duke.
And they charged three of them with it, and they did DNA tests, and they found that there was no no connection between the three guys and the chick. And the other stripper was saying, no, wait a minute, that didn't happen. That
didn't happen, right?
The other
and
stripper...
All charges were dropped, right?
The other stripper went on 60 Minutes to say, I don't know what she's talking about. This didn't happen. I was with her the whole time. So then they just recently dropped the charges entirely, not saying we don't have enough proof that these guys did it, so we can't charge them. But what they were saying, in effect, was they're completely innocent. This was a...
Because the rape didn't happen.
The rape did not happen. It was a completely made-up charge. But I don't know if you remember or not, but Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all over that one. Because black chick, white guys.
Victims were black, right. They were out there with the Black Panthers demanding immediate justice, demanding that these guys be immediately put in jail forever.
So I'd like to ask for black listeners to call and let us know your feeling on Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, because it scares me to think that that many people are with them, because they do something like the Duke lacrosse thing. And this is right after the Duke lacrosse thing happened. They asked Al Sharpton, why do you stand up for this girl when it looks like there's proof, the other stripper and DNA, negative evidence, that she might have made up the charges entirely? And Al Sharpton said this.
Well, first of all, the authorities have charged that it was a crime.
Right, right.
So they're not saying that at all. Second of all, people on any side of an argument have the right to advocate on behalf of who they believe. Thirdly, I think that when the prosecutors went forward, they clearly have said this girl is the victim.
Okay, so that's what he said at the time when it looked like she might be lying, but they didn't know for sure.
But he decided on the face of her skin color that she was believable and that the white guys who professed their innocence were not.
Correct, yeah. So then a guy was asking Jesse Jackson, what about the DNA? Because they went to the Duke lacrosse team and they said, hey, look, the DNA is going to exonerate you. If you take the DNA test and it shows you're not there, you will be, set free. And they said, okay, let's take the DNA test. They did. It came back negative and they still kept the charges. Which was weird. So then he asked Jesse Jackson.
What's your reaction to the revelation that these DNA tests do not link any members of the lacrosse team to the alleged sexual assault?
Well, there are apparently other evidences of foul play. There's a lot we don't know because of the kind of blue code of silence by the players who were involved.
First of all, I didn't know there was a blue code of silence. We need to put that into effect here. That's awesome.
I think he's talking about police protecting one another.
Oh, police.
The blue code, yeah.
But the police protect... Oh, because they were protecting the prosecutor, you mean? I don't understand.
It sounded like he was suggesting there was some sort of conspiracy to... something to do with other evidence. Who the hell knows what Jesse Jackson is talking about most of the time anyway?
Yeah. So then they ask him about the background of the stripper. They did some research. They found out the background.
Would it give you pause to know that 4 years ago, she was working as a topless dancer at a club? She stole a cab driver's keys, stole his car, led police on a high-speed chase, ran through a fence, crashed the car, smashed a patrol car. She had a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit. Does that give you pause about her credibility?
So now he's given him a chance to say, look, we're doing some more research. It looks like she's not the kind of person that you necessarily would want to stand up for blindly just because she's black.
Well, if she did all of that and they knew her reputation and paid her to perform for them, at what point their being aroused and their fantasies come into play or took them beyond what they paid for to what they in fact actually did?
I don't have any idea what he's talking about there.
That's circular speak there. He starts with answering the question, but then he goes back into what they in fact did, which he knows for a fact. Jesse Jackson, which it turns out they didn't do at all.
At all, right, exactly.
Now, I know we might sound like whiny white guys, but you can take it out of context anytime you want. And anybody can charge anything that they want. And it's scary, the momentum and the inertia that these two guys can get the ball rolling. It's really, really scary. So then there was one more, and this is Jesse Jackson talking about white and black people.
The fact that there's a young black woman and there are young white men involved, and there's such a history of white men and black women and rape and assault, it conjures up many ancient feelings and fears.
Okay, so that's his stance on why he wants to believe her.
Well, I will tell you, jumping back to 2007, that there's no question Don Imus doesn't get fired for that remark
if Sharpton and Jackson don't get involved. They were certainly the catalyst. They're certainly the ones who met with MSNBC and then met with CBS and really got the story to the point where they almost felt like they had no choice but to fire the dude.
Right.
Whether you agree with that decision or not, I think you got to agree that these revs are the guys who were the catalysts for the decision. That's for sure. So we've opened up the phone lines here. Now, we're looking for black listeners only on this one. We don't usually like to say, just one type of person can call here. But 1-800-520-1067. We have eight lines. We'll probably only need four of them. But if you're a black listener out there, we want to hear from you and find out whether you think Jackson and Sharpton speak for you. Are they helping the cause? Are they doing good work? Are you happy when you see them on the scene? Or do you wish they just shut up and go away? That's the question on the table. And we'll take a quick break and take your calls right after this on the World Famous Cable.
We're talking about Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and the fact that they stand up and say we speak for black people, and we want to know if they indeed do. And I would like to say one last thing about the Duke lacrosse thing. The reason I brought this up is they haven't stood up and said, okay, we were wrong, she lied, and we apologize to these guys for ruining their lives. That,
true.
I would trust them much, 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 much more had they done that. But it sounds like they just stand up for black people regardless because they're black. Right. And then if it turns out to not be true, they just go on with their lives and somebody else's life is ruined because they don't care.
Now, is that just our impression because we're white guys, or do you feel that way too as an African American? 1-800-520-1067. We got a bunch of calls, more than I expected on this, and we'll start with our pal Anel, who is the token black listener, the official token black listener of the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hey, our brother from another mother, how are you, Anel?
Very well. What is that y'all doing?
He's like Token from South Park, exactly.
Exactly. He's Token, right?
I'm out.
So, Anel, real quick, because we got a bunch of calls, but we always value your opinion. First of all, were you glad to see Don Imus get fired for the remark?
You know, honestly, I mean, here's the thing. I really don't think the guy should have been fired. I mean, you don't need to take away the man's livelihood because he said something ignorant. You know, my whole personal thought is, you know, the guy said something stupid, the whole nappy-headed hoe thing.
Right.
Now, you know, he probably could have called them hoes without calling them nappy-headed and probably would have slid under the radar.
Oh, but fantastic. You know, hang on, let me write that down.
Hoes. Okay.
No nappy-headed. Okay.
I mean, you know, hip-hop, you know, rappers, we do it every day.
Yeah,
know?
I know.
You know, I'm not going to say I'm not guilty of the same thing, you know. I mean, you know, I see girls, bad hoe. You know, I mean, you know, but I mean, the whole point is, you know, when you put the nappy-headed comment in, I think you just crossed the line.
Right.
You know, than the saying where, you know, you made an actual racist-specific comment as opposed to just something funny you say.
Okay. That's fair enough. How about Sharpton and Jackson? Because as I mentioned before the break, they're really the catalysts who made this thing blow up to be as big as it is.
Look, I don't know who in the hell elected Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, the president and vice president of Black America.
They elected themselves, dude.
Look, my whole thing is this. There really was a time in America where we had black leaders. We had, your Elder Cleavers, or, you know, your Malcolm X's, your Huey Newtons that stood up for black people because we needed standing up for.
Right.
But this is 2007, and if you want to know my opinion as a black man, then why don't you ask me? Don't ask some clown with a perm and some other cat with an illegitimate kid, you know, that wants to, what, you know, what they think about America. You know, ask me what I think about America.
Fantastic.
So, let me ask you this, Anel. Anel, you got a lot of black friends too. Do they speak for most black people, or do you think that's not even fair?
I don't know one black person, I would say over the age of probably 35 or 40, that actually takes Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton seriously. Because the people are jokes, like you said. They show up whenever there's cameras. They come on. They make a big, a big storm about nothing. And then, like you said, with the whole Duke lacrosse thing. You know, old girl got caught with her hand in the cookie jar.
Right.
You know what I mean? She tried to pull a fast one. And, you know, it's all in all fairness that the street's supposed to go both ways, and they should apologize to those white boys because, you know what? They almost ruined those children's lives. Those people could have gone to jail for a long time, man. Rape is not a joke, man. And down in North Carolina, do you know what them boys would have done to them kids out in jail? North Carolina
That's a good point, Anel. All right, man. Thank you for the call. Have a terrific weekend. We appreciate it, Anel.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
Let's talk to Bridget, who's calling us from Van Nuys, because you know, Kevin, every time I get the opportunity to have a sister on the phone, I'm going to do it.
I know. Bean's going to hit on you now, Bridget.
Hey, Bridget. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding on. What do you think?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Not here, but we'll tell her.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, Jackson and Sharpton do not speak for me in any way, shape, or form. I have a lot of black friends. They don't speak for them either. They're a joke. It's ridiculous. Going off of what you said, they should have apologized about the lacrosse players. Those guys are forever going to be
right. Those
Duke lacrosse players.
And they would do themselves a lot of good, I think, Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, if they would stand up and say, okay, that turned out to not be true. We apologize to the guy. I mean, people would trust them a lot more when they step in front of the microphone.
Absolutely, but they're all about the media attention, and I think that's why a lot of black people do allow them to speak speak for them because they feel like they're going to get more attention and people will pay attention to their cause and what's going on in their lives.
But Bridget, if most black people don't consider them spokespeople, how do they get so much inertia and speed?
Because I think the media are lazy. I think that's why, because they're smart, good-looking, eloquent people that are good on television and radio, and it's easy for the news director at NBC or whatever to say, yeah, we'll have him on and give that opinion. That's my guess. What do you think, Bridget?
If nobody else is standing up to say what they think, then of course the media is going to go for the people who are willing to say something.
Right.
Even if what they're saying is wrong.
Okay. Thank you, Bridget. We appreciate the call.
Bye, guys.
Bye now. All right.
Let's do we have time for one more? Yeah. I know we got Speed Racer standing by. Let's talk to Devin in Anaheim, too. We're talking about Sharpton and Jackson. Where are these black people that they seem to be speaking for every time they get in front of a microphone or a television camera? Hi, Devin. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Hi. They absolutely just do not speak for me and for probably everyone in my family and every single black person that I know. It's we laugh at it. Like, when I found out about what happened with the radio guy, I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, it is in a sad kind of way, but if you do our job and you work for our company and you see what they how they do it, you go, okay, well, no, we're going to be gone any day soon.
Well, I don't mean it's funny that he got fired. I thought it was kind of funny what he said.
Oh, you thought it was funny. Okay. Yeah. Well, you have a sense of humor then. That's good.
But, you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, they're just extremists, and I think maybe back in the day people may have valued their opinion, but I think now they're setting black people back about 50 years.
Hey, there was a time, I don't know as much about the history of Al Sharpton, but there was a time when Jesse Jackson was, you know, a real civil rights leader. I mean, he did go into very difficult situations and really speak for people who didn't have a voice and really get some things changed. I mean, he marched with Dr. King. I mean, he did all that stuff for real back in the 60s. But maybe, right, as Anel pointed out, maybe there's not that position anymore and he still hasn't let it go. He's still trying to be that guy out there speaking for those who can't speak, and now those who can't speak don't want him to speak for them.
Yeah, they make everything black-white, and it just makes everything worse. If you make everything racist, then everything's always going to be perceived as being racist.
I think they make it worse, too. I think so, too. Thank you, Devon, for calling.
Thank you.
I'd like to point out that Bean only went to female black callers. Did you notice
that? Of course. I got to line up plans for the weekend. And by the way, we don't have time for any more calls, but everyone else on hold, Danielle and Charles and Kanan, everybody, we didn't get a single of our African-American listeners to call up to defend. It's not like we're just trying to present the one side. The only people who called are people who said, he doesn't speak for
us. And I went into the other room and said, get rid of a few of these people and find people who agree with Sharpton. And they said, we can't. There's no one like that calling. So if that tells you anything, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I missed that comment, Kevin. Could you repeat it for me? Could you say it again, please?
K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
7:42, we've been hearing nothing from producer Lighting but excitement over this weekend because, you know, he is, you know, he's Mr. LBC. You know how he is about the Long Beach. And, of course, it's the biggest weekend of the year for Long Beach. The 33rd annual Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach is happening starting today and all weekend long. So many things going on, not the least of which, of course, is the Champ Car Race at 1 o'clock on Sunday. We're very excited to have one of the best racers in the field. Paul Tracy joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing fine. So, producer Lightning, who's a big fan of yours, was telling us you're a Las Vegas guy. That's home base now for you, Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, I was originally from Canada, but I've lived in Vegas the last 10 years, and we just had our first race of the season, which was last week in Vegas, and got a third place. So
they closed down the strip, right, and just do it right there?
That's fantastic. They closed down all the downtown, and we ran down the strip and through the Fremont Street experience, so that was pretty exciting for the city and all the fans.
It must be so much fun for you as a guy who lives there, who must hate having to drive, you know, in regular traffic on regular days, just going to the dentist and stuff, to finally get out there and just be able to let it rip.
Well, when I'm at home, I usually stay just at home. It's like the traffic is nearly as bad as it is here in L.A., and I'm fortunate enough that I don't have to go into a job in the morning and have to deal with all that. So it was nice having to, you know, get to race in my hometown and you know, come down in the morning and sleep in my own bed, which was nice.
I think if I were a professional race car driver, I would have gotten probably arrested 25 times on the streets for just because I wouldn't be able to drive 25 or 40 or whatever.
Well, I haven't been arrested yet, but I've gotten a fair amount of tickets, but nothing too major.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you a couple things about Las Vegas first, and then we're going to move on and talk about Long Beach, because it does look like a great weekend for race car fans here in Southern California. I went to your website, paultracy.com, and I saw that you were given a description of the race in Vegas, and you talked about how you hit the curb. Made a mistake, hit the curb. How fast were you going at the time, and what was the effect of that?
Well, there was a chicane in the middle of the front straightaway, and you know, we approach it at about 150, the chicane, and then you slow down to about 60 or 70. And I came through, and I locked the brake going in, and ran over the curb and bounced up in the air, and I didn't get a good exit out of the chicane, and the guy was right behind me at the exit, and we were leading onto the straightaway, and he was able to get by me.
Dude.
And, yeah, that makes a big difference at that speed when you hit something. And the other question I had is, you talked about how one of your pit stops in the Vegas race was a whopping 9 seconds. Is that a fairly typical pit stop, or is that shorter than usual? And what can you get done in 9 seconds?
Well, I mean, we put 35 gallons of fuel and 4 tires in 9 seconds. Oh, that's pretty standard.
How is that possible?
That's crazy.
Kind of what you'll see down here at Long Beach. I mean, a lot of the race, when you can't get by somebody in the pits, if your pit crew is and you do a stop in 9 seconds and the other guy does it in 12, you're going to pass him in the pits, and it makes life a lot easier.
Well, you know, it takes 2 hours when I take my car in to get tires. I got to leave and come back. I got to start using your guys.
Yeah, these guys are pros.
His guys are a little more expensive, though, Bean, I'm guessing.
Well, that's probably true, yeah. Have you raced this, I'm sure you have, this week leading up to, have you toured this this course in Long Beach? What do you think of the route?
I've raced here for 15 years. I've won the race 4 times, so, you know, I'm excited about this weekend. This has always been a great track for me, and we've just picked up a new sponsor with Monster Energy Drink, which is local here to Southern California, so we're excited about the opportunity with them and having everybody come out, and hopefully we can close in on a fifth win.
I got to tell you, I've gone down to Long Beach to see this, and it is awesome. You can't imagine how amazing it is to watch this in person up close to see how fast these cars are going, and how it looks like the tiniest little thing that you do would make all the difference in the world. But it's a great weekend, and you can buy tickets at Ticketmaster. You can also do walk-up tickets if you want to. And your race, I guess, is at 1 o'clock on Sunday, right?
Yeah, our race is 1 o'clock, but they've got a whole weekend of action. It's not just our race. They have Formula Atlantics. They have endurance racing. They have some showroom stock racing. And they also have the drifting, which is real popular here in Southern California. So it's a full weekend and a full party down by the beach.
Yeah, I wanted to ask what you, as a professional race car driver, what you think about that drifting thing. We had one of those dudes in here last week, and they love it. Have you ever tried anything like that, Paul?
No, I haven't, and I was actually talking to Jesse James about it. I was by his shop the other day, and I said, what do you think of this drifting stuff? And I haven't really thought about it all that much, but he said it's like synchronized swimming with cars.
That's, you know what, we had one of the racers in, and he was telling us that it's the only race where you don't win by coming across first. You actually have judges and style points.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into the racing where you got to race the guy and pass the guy, but this is all about style and sliding.
Right.
Yeah, it's just different, you know, but, you know, the fans sure like it here, and it, you know, one thing it does for us on the race weekends is it sure lays down a lot of rubber on the track, because those guys are skidding out the track all over the place.
Right, that helps?
Oh, yeah, it gives our cars a lot more grip, because, you know, these streets aren't used very much for racing, and, you know, the more rubber that gets laid down in the corners, the faster our cars go, because the cars grip the road better, and these guys just skid around the track all over the place, and they just burn the tires up. So it definitely helps our cars.
Dude, there's a lot of that going on in Long Beach all year round. Let me explain to people where you're going to be this afternoon.
Well, this morning, we have practice today. I have a meeting this morning, and then we have practice at 10 a.m. till 12, and then qualifying from 2 till 3, and then pretty much the same thing Saturday. And then the race is on Sunday.
No, I'm sorry. I was talking about an autograph signing. Are you doing that?
Yeah, we have an autograph signing. I'm not sure exactly of the location. It's usually in the garage area, in the pit area, but we have autograph signings from 5 till 6 usually.
Okay. And that is free access to anyone who has an admission ticket to go on down there to the Long Beach Grand Prix. The 33rd annual running of the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach is happening this weekend. Starting today, you can go to longbeachgp.com. And Paul, as a guy who's won the race a bunch of times before, what do you feel like your chances are? You want to make any kind of predictions for us right now?
Well, I think we got a good chance. We had a good race last week and had a solid race and finished third. And this has always been a great track for me. Like I said, I've won here 4 times, and we got some good sponsors on board this weekend, like I said, with Monster, and they're local, so we definitely want to win the race.
Fantastic. Well, good luck. We appreciate you talking to us this morning, Paul.
All right, thank you.
Bye now. Why, how come I hate him so much, do you think?
Because he's carrying dirt with him everywhere he goes.
But it's not
so that
dirt.
His hair looks banging.
It's some kind of hair product.
Yeah, it's from Blowout. It's from Jonathan Anton's show Blowout, the reality show about a hairstylist.
I don't know
his product.
That
dirt is okay. His product. You put dirt in your hair. That's the name of the product.
And you carry it with you everywhere you
and
go.
And Psycho Mike carries a jar of dirt with him everywhere he goes in case his hair needs some help looking banging.
Makes my hair look so banging.
Gay.
Right. Yes, it is.
It's 7:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Next hour coming up, I've got the movie beat. Also, some magic on the mic. The K-Rock microphones were there as lightning took over Santa Anita this past weekend. You have got to hear it to believe it. First, Ralph is here with the show this week.
He's Ralph. Not internationally known, but he's known to rock the microphone.
That's exactly
stupid.
Right.
Crazy.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
Ludicrous.
No doubt.
Fabulous.
Speaking of reality television... I want to reiterate the fact that tomorrow is the big day if you want to be on Big Brother 8.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to live in the Big Brother house and win yourself $500,000, go on down to CBS Studios Radford. That is the Studio City CBS Studios, not the one in Television City there off of Beverly and Fairfax. It's Studio City's Radford, 4024 Radford Avenue, Studio City, California, 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. They start seeing people for Big Brother 8. Goes all the way to 3 p.m., so get yourself down there and rock and roll. For more information and for a application, you can go to cbs.com. Just don't click on the IMUS link. Nothing there anymore.
He's off today. It's weird. I tuned in. He's off. I don't know what's going on.
Surprising. I mentioned the story last hour is the greatest showman story of the year. I think it bears repeating. Tabloids are reporting that Lindsay Lohan spent the evening at the Le Hermitage Hotel with Kevin Federline. Kevin Federline and Lindsay Lohan, a new item. According to the National Enquirer, Kevin and Lindsay are dating. Lindsay made the first move. Kevin met Lindsay through Britney.
No.
And they're
no.
always very flirtatious with each other.
Somebody else finds him attractive in any way?
Apparently he was lured there, if you believe the story. She called him up and said, yeah, I want to talk some business. There might be a movie project that you might be right for that I'm doing. So he shows up with his manager.
Right.
She goes, let's talk in private. Let's go into my suite.
Apparently, let's talk about the business in your pants.
Spent the afternoon there.
Right?
He spent the afternoon in the bedroom, and apparently he spent the night, according to publications.
Come on.
Yeah, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
That story has everything.
K-Fed and Ello.
And what?
Ello.
Ello?
Hello. The new power
fire
couple.
Crunch.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You forget.
It's disgusting. Go back to your cheap motel. You fire crotch. A stinky beaver.
L'Hermitage is no cheap motel, by the way.
Isn't it?
No, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hugh Grant and his girlfriend Jemina Khan are back together again. The two split up just before Elizabeth Hurley's wedding because Jemina was... jealous that you and Liz were still pals.
Right.
But she has come to grips with the fact that they'll always be friends. They do have a production company together. They're longtime pals. So they're back together again. And she realizes it won't matter because soon Elizabeth Hurley will be in an Indian prison anyway.
Right.
Kissing in front of the sacred fire. So it doesn't really matter.
I hate it when that happens.
She'll be doing time. Mark Wahlberg's making a new movie called The Fighter. It's a boxing movie. And he was training for the movie with his sparring partner, amateur boxer Brian Yen. When Brian encouraged him to put a little more power behind his punches, according to Star Magazine, Wahlberg opened it up, and Brian had ended up in the hospital having dizzy spells for a couple days after he got socked in the head by Mark Wahlberg.
That's funny.
Wahlberg's paying all his hospital bills and is visiting him constantly. He feels poorly about the fact that he knocked out the amateur. You can see why he's an amateur.
Sure.
Actor kicked his ass.
Beat up an actor, yeah. Kevin, you're the guy who went to see Shooter? That was you?
Oh, yeah.
I wondered who it was.
Yeah.
How was it, Shooter?
Well, it was, you know, I like that kind of movie, and it was just okay.
So. What if you'd been doing shots during Shooter?
Oh!
It
would have
been a whole different thing. Better, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Orlando Bloom's dating a supermodel.
He's the guy you said yesterday was having trouble meeting chicks.
Yep. Well, not chicks. He has a hard time finding love.
Oh.
Because you can't find love in Hollywood because everyone's so quick to trade partners and to move on in relationships. It's hard to find something substantial. So in lieu of that, he's banging a Victoria's Secret supermodel. Make himself feel a little better.
Console himself somehow.
Her name is Miranda Kerr, and she's diabolical. So, score one for the skinny little limey. I don't get it. I don't know what women dig about him. I don't understand it.
Oh, they find him beautiful, Ralph. Don't you know that?
I don't see it at all. Got nothing for me. I like a big strapping man. That's who I like.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me a big sailor.
Yeah.
What is going on here today?
I don't know.
Doing Ralph on this side and Blowout on the other side?
I'm just saying. If I were gay, I'd want a man.
Howie
man.
Long.
Howie Long. Yeah. Give me some Howie Long.
What's the point of this story?
I don't know.
Damn.
Congratulations to Shia LaBeouf. He's having a hell of a week. He's got Disturbia coming out today.
Sure.
Right.
Looks great.
He'll be hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow night. He's got Transformers coming out in July.
Can't wait.
And he's just been given the nod to co-star with Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones 4.
Wow.
He'll be playing Indy's sidekick. No word yet whether it's his son or whether it's just a fellow adventurer, but he will be co-starring in that film. So this guy's blowing up.
No kidding. Wow.
Ain't that something? Speaking of television this weekend, tonight is the debut of a TV show called Painkiller Jane on the Sci-Fi channel.
Oh, and this is with the Terminator, right?
Yes, Christina Loken. That's why I bring it up, because she's just nuts.
I'm sorry, the name of the show?
Painkiller Jane. She's a secret agent who has to battle superhuman-powered villains, and she can't be killed.
Yeah, her thing is she doesn't feel pain, right? I mean, that's why the name, right?
Yep, Painkiller Jane, based on the popular comic book, so you might want to check that out this weekend. Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ron Perlman. Star of a TV series called Beauty and the Beast. That was great. He was in Hellboy. He'll be in Hellboy 2, 57 years old today. Lisa Umbarger from the Toadies. The Toadies, 42.
All right, Toadies.
And Rick Schroeder, who was on NYPD Blue. He was, of course, on Silver Spoons. That's where he made his name. He was in The Champ. And as Psycho Mike brought up, he was in Across the Tracks, where he played a competing long-distance runner with Brad Pitt. Two brothers who compete against each other on the long cross-country team. Can't imagine why that wasn't.
No. It's also on 24.
Yes, plays Mike Doyle on 24. I was getting to that.
Okay.
That was going to be my closer for his career.
It seemed like there was going to be no
Kevin
closer.
Kevin is very busy today, Rob. He's got a very tight schedule.
You're playing to Vegas? I don't know about that.
The tracks. I thought, I don't know if we have that kind of time.
Rick is 37 years old today.
It's on 24, Ralph.
We've established that.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about, speaking of sports, we have had some fantastic sports announcers in Southern California throughout the years.
Sure.
You know, you got Vin Scully.
Little number back to Bimal, and they get a force at the plate to throw the first double play. As simple as 1, 2, 3.
Maybe one of the most classic baseball announcers of all time.
Certainly. Absolute Hall of Famer, right.
Chick Hearn.
Magic in the dream, straddling the three-point line. They're picking the Lakers high. Pass under to Worthy, and he slam dunks to be fouled by Oldham. Boy, was that a sensational pass by Magic.
And we got Lightning. We got those three.
Producer Lightning is now at the list.
We got Vin Scully. We got Chick Hearn, now Spiro Dinas, of course, and we have Lightning.
Well, I didn't know that. What sport is Lightning doing the announcing for? I'm not aware.
Beer pong. Now, here's the thing about my man Lightning. He tends to get a little excited. A little.
Yeah.
And it gets to be scary after a while, but he's on the mic at Santa Anita last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts out the day with kind of a gruff voice. Something's wrong because he's been yelling, who knows, here the whole time or whatever. And so Lightning starts pointing things out to the crowd as he kind of gets warmed up for the day.
This one's going to go to the first person that's got a photograph of a dog or a cat.
That kind of stuff. That's the kind of giveaway that he does.
Oh, my patented comedy, yes.
He sees celebrities everywhere.
Nate Dogg is in the house. Nate Dogg, right here. Right there. Can you sing some acapella for us?
All right.
Leave me alone.
Okay, so you can see he's loosening
he's
up
out
a bit.
The A material, isn't he?
Now I should
it takes
say that
Lightning a while to warm up. He's now starting to loosen up just a little bit.
Well, the good part is that Santa Anita, you know, the gates open at 10. Well, I'm there helping set up at like 8:45,
yeah.
And the beer vendor's open,
mm-hmm.
And I'm the only person there, so I'm sucking him down early.
But he does bring the best prizes available.
Okay, let's see here. We got the second season of the Wild Wild West.
Can we make t-shirts or something decent to give away?
No, never. He brings the good stuff. The second season of the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. Whatever that is. Lighting, what's going on with your voice, dude? You're starting to sound like Lycus. What's happening to you?
That was a late night the night before.
I was doing some production, some commercials for K-Rock.
No, that's not what it was.
So then Lightning starts getting loosening up, and he starts back into his comedy routine.
In the air, money, free money, free money, free money.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's starting now to start. He's starting to crank it up now. It's starting to, now he's getting into the beer pong mode because he knows once he hits beer pong, he's got to be at the top of his game. He's got to be Vince Scully or any of these other great broadcasters. And let me tell you, he does it.
I am not talented. Not just not.
But you put, okay, that's right, but that's only point one. Point one is that you're not talented. Point two is you cannot stand for there to be 1 second of time which there's not screaming. So you have to fill the void with your non-talent.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're not surrounding the table, you don't have any clue. I just keep the, I'm like, you know, like white noise for the people who are drinking.
Nope,
but they
you're
know
not
there's
white noise.
Action going mm-hmm. on and there's something. Maybe they want to be a part of it. Maybe they don't. But there's something exciting happening.
They're,
it's all I'm trying to do.
They're leaning over and putting their fingers in their ears because of you. That's what's happening.
Oh, no deal. Lisa makes the first shot of the day. No deal.
All right, now he's starting to kind of warm up a little bit. Now he's getting into the play-by-play action. And by the way, by this point, the guys over on the side, you know, Omar and everybody and Mike are going, hey, you know, you might want to tone it down a bit. I mean, you don't need to scream. Don't feel the need to scream every single time, you know.
All right, it's her turn on Ramon's team. Oh, almost gets it in cut number two off to the left. Does he want Ramon up and over? No, and he goes for a direct shot. Doesn't make it at all. Or at least he goes for the shot. No, just shy of cup number one to the front here. And then we're going for Hector. Hector is, he goes for the bounce, but no one swats it. So, all right, so is Ramon up next? And he swats it. He shows you that you're no good right here.
Boom!
Yeah.
A little trash talk.
Come on!
My goal's not to piss people off, you know?
No!
That sure is a good song we could be listening to behind him, though, isn't it?
Why? See, here's the thing. Everybody that's interested in beer pong is surrounding the table watching. But Lightning feels the need. He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He knows that everybody out there would rather be here watching beer pong, so he's got to scream it out to them.
Dude, by the way, it was a colossal hit. And so not everyone could be right by the table.
Of course it was a colossal hit, but that's in spite of your screaming.
So then
Lightning gets into a little groove. He's not screaming anymore. Now he's just in a groove.
All right, so we got it. Oh, and it's in Brianna right there. All right, so first shot made in the cup right here by Brianna. Oh, and another one by Ramon.
I'm sorry, he is still yelling. I forgot there was no tape of him not yelling.
Here we go. You shot, Brianna shoots, and comes up shy. All right, then Ramon. No deal. Right here. Lisa going for the shot. Lisa makes a shot. No, it comes up way short. Lisa sucks. All right. Here we go. And Hector shoots. No deal. And it's Brianna's turn. Nope. Comes up shy. Ramon. And goes for the bounce. And no deal. Lisa off the rim.
No deal.
And Hector off the rim. No deal.
No deal.
All right. Here we go.
This is catchphrase.
You guys blow. And the game is getting horrible. Here we go.
Yes.
By the way, guys,
the Lakers are on the phone right now, Lightning.
What the hell is Omar playing in the background?
I don't know, but why can't we hear it?
Stop. And why can't he play it louder to drown you out?
Stop. Don't change topics and go to Omar. You guys know, you hear him say no deal over and over again. That was his big catchphrase. Right. You know why? Because the deal or no deal girls were there and came over and played a little beer pong.
Yes.
So he's being witty. What a douche.
How do you come up with that?
Guys, I was asked by Santa Anita to humor the girls.
Stop talking. So now,
I was.
People are coming up to Lightning more and they're saying, hey, you know what? You don't stop yelling. Why do you feel the need to yell? And here's his answer.
I can shut up, sure, but I won't.
Yeah, that's him. I could shut up.
Hey, remember that time Lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
Oh, look at there! Boom!
What in God's name is going on?
The first thing upon walking...
If that's the winning shot in Game 7 of an NBA Finals championship, maybe. You're doing beer pong. There's no... Oh, look at that!
There's thousands. There's 11,000 drunk people there. And
11,001, by the way. Don't forget, you're on the mic.
Yes, and I'm just excited.
And... Oh!
I have like 15 minutes of him going, oh!
Oh, dear God, no.
Oh! He won't stop. I'd like to formally apologize to everybody that went out to Santa Anita last weekend. We're sorry. that you had to hear that. We apologize if you've had to go to the doctor in the week since. And
dude,
get your ears
people driving that. By on the 110 heard that. Are you kidding me? It wasn't just at Santa Anita. That's a pollution bomb is what that is.
We apologize to the neighborhoods, the houses around there with all the glass breaking.
Whichever one loses. Oh!
I mean, come on. Listen, beer pong is beer pong. Yeah. I get it. I'm into it. It's great fun. You drink, you get drunk. It's not that exciting ever.
I'm trying to bring it to the next level.
Right, but you're bringing it to the level down where everybody goes, ouch, why is he yelling?
Oh.
Knock, knock. Lightning sucks!
I only say that, Ralph, to remind you that it's time for the movie beat.
Ralph Garman's movie beat.
You don't have to remind me. I've been waiting for Aqua Teen Hunger Force colon movie for theaters to come out.
Colon movie for theaters.
Yep,
that's the title.
Okay.
If you're not a fan of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, if you don't watch it over there on the Cartoon Network, this may not be the best introduction for you to go to learn about these characters. Because I got the chance to see this movie last night, and it makes less than any sense whatsoever. It's just madness.
It's wacky for the sake of wacky.
It is. It's just a constant barrage of non sequiturs and lunacy that makes no sense whatsoever, and yet I find it wildly entertaining.
Could they show it out of order? Some
easily.
Scenes like out of sequence and it wouldn't make any difference?
Easily. It's supposed to sort of be the origin of where Frylock came from, but you got Abraham Lincoln from the future and wooden rockets and Lincoln's teleporting in and out, talking about slavery, and it's just madness.
Explain to people who the main characters are if they don't know.
They're a sort of wannabe crime-fighting super team. Master Shake, who is a giant talking shake,
milkshake.
The straw coming out of his head, milkshake.
Of course he is.
You've got Frylock, who's sort of the brains of the operation. He is a floating, mystical supersized box of fries.
Right.
And then you've got Meatwad, who is the dumb but lovable meatball.
Meatwad's my favorite, although he does mumble a lot.
You can barely understand what he says most of the time. He makes Kenny sound like, an orator. So, like I'm saying, if you're a fan of the show, if you're watching a comedy on Cartoon Network, you're going to love this movie.
If not, get high.
Because 2 hours of just the same sort of stuff. But this is a whole lot of Aqua Teen Hunger Force to take in one bite if you're not familiar with them. You might be wondering about 20 minutes in, what the hell's going on? But basically, just to give you a sort of overview of what the film is, it's about a robotic Ghost of Christmas Past,
okay,
who comes into the present,
right,
to inform two aliens that they're going to create the world's greatest piece of fitness equipment that eventually will rule the world.
Fitness equipment's going to rule the world?
Yeah. The Insanoflex.
Okay.
The Insanoflex.
The Insanoflex. The Insanoflex is really, that piece of workout machinery is the key to the whole plot line.
If I hear another movie about that.
I know, about, fitness equipment taking over the world. It's like Psycho Mike's Perfect Future, where fitness equipment takes over the world.
That's right.
Here's a little scene from the film. This is where Frylock is asking, I'm not sure about this clip, I think it's the next door neighbor, Carl, where they can find the missing piece that activates the Insanoflex.
I just need to know where you got that Insanoflex.
Some garage sale.
Well, Shake says you gave it to him for Christmas.
Oh, is that where it is? Yeah, I thought Santa Claus came in here and busted out my window.
Oh, yeah, well, look, I know it's yours, but we're kind of missing a key part that makes it work.
Well, boo-hoo, for you.
Carl, the next door neighbor, is the best. He's another character from the show. It's hard for me to express to you
how bizarre.
How much I love this show, and yet try to clue you in enough to make you feel like you're up to date on it, because it's a very odd show.
There are some movies that you love and you know everyone else will love. This is not necessarily one of them.
No.
But the people who love it a lot.
Yes.
Well, 1 hour from right now, we'll talk to Dave Willis, the brains behind the Aqua Teen Hunger Force colon movie film for theaters, if you want to come on back for that.
I tell you, in the very beginning of the film, you get the sensibility, because they start off in what you think is one of those old-fashioned movie theater trailers where the concession stand food starts to tell you to go out and get a snack, and it's dancing around, a little hot dog and a little fudgesicle and stuff. And then suddenly it's overtaken by foul, rotted food that starts to sing a speed metal song about how if you talk during the movie, they'll cut your throat with a linoleum knife.
Yes.
So that's sort of the sense of what this movie is.
And that's
the
subtitle, because you can't understand a word they're saying.
That's right. Yeah. If you bring your baby to this movie's not for babies, take it outside, leave it in the street, then run over it as you go home. is one of the speed metal lyrics. So.
It's a pretty nutty movie.
Yeah. Red Line also opens up this weekend. This is about Click and Glurb, two guys who fight crime.
Nope.
I don't think so. The Eddie Griffin one. Is this the one they wrecked the car talking about?
This is the movie Eddie Griffin stars in about fast cars. They go in the red line.
I watched this trailer yesterday, and you really don't get any sense at all what the movie's about. Nope. It's just cars.
I just know there's a lot of racing cars, and Eddie Griffin's in it, and he crashes Ferraris. I know that for a fact. Here's a little scene where a hot chick is showing Eddie just how fast his car can go.
Question is, how fast does my blue baby go?
It depends on whoever drives the car.
Hey, let me learn how to drive like this.
I bothered.
You must have put tin foil in your baby bottle. Let me out.
Well, they sound fast and furious.
Fast and hilarious.
Okay, so the car's going fast.
That's fast, all right. That's Redline. Also opening up today is Year of the Dog. This is from the same guy who wrote School of Rock. He directs the film as well. It's about a dog-loving secretary whose personal life takes a massive turn for the worse when her dog suddenly dies, and she has to start dealing with people.
Party.
It's comedy. Romantic comedy.
It is?
Yeah. Molly Shannon stars in it. Remember her from Saturday Night Live?
Superstar.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Sure.
She gets on my last nerve, that chick. I won't be going to see this.
So you don't want to see it because there's not a talking French fry?
If there was a talking ball of meat, then I'd be on board, but I can't put up with Molly Shannon. Perfect Stranger opens this weekend as well. Bruce Willis and Halle Berry star in this supposed thriller with supposed sexual tension.
What do you mean by that?
I'm just watching the trailers of this thing. I'm like, God damn it. This looks like every other freaking bad supposed mystery thriller you ever see thrown up on the screen every weekend. It just looks horrible.
Like, how is Michael Douglas not in it? Is
that
what you're thinking?
Exactly, yes. How did he avoid that?
Look good to me.
Look good to you?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, they're both good actors. And
but this looks so pedestrian.
It does look pretty predictable and generic. I totally agree.
Totally generic. Absolutely.
It is possible that there are some tension in it, though.
Wait a minute. You guys draw your line above predictable?
Yeah, sorry.
Kind of, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, if this movie was made 20 years ago, Don Johnson would be starring in it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's that kind of thing. With the Rebecca De Mornay or some other femme fatale.
Right, sure.
That's who would be in this. Here's a scene where Bruce Willis, who plays Halle Berry's boss in the film, but there's also sexual tension between the two, and somebody committed a murder someplace. Anyway, he thinks she's a spy.
You're a spy for Kirschenbaum, right?
Answer me!
I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you not a spy?
Yes. What?
Yes!
Do you even know what the word loyalty means?
I bet your wife is wondering the same thing.
Oh, no, you didn't!
Dude.
Do not bring my wife up onto this argument where I'm about to kill you for being a spy.
Even though I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Looks kind of good.
Oh, Kevin.
Kind of.
Come on.
It's not going to win an Academy Award or anything.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
And lastly, the movie I recommend this weekend, Disturbia.
Now, this one looks better.
This movie kicks some major ass. Shia LaBeouf stars as a young teenager who, well, he's lost his father. He's got some issues because of that. He starts acting out in anger, and as a result, he ends up under house arrest with one of those monitors clamped around his ankle.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And
he gets his
TV taken away from him, his computer games, his iTunes. You lose all that, Bean. Is that still your dream?
Yeah, when you put it that way, no, that's no good. You're right.
Yeah. The upswing is that he's got a smoking hot girl who's moved in next door to him, played by Sarah Romer, who's just incredible looking. And because he's trapped in this house, he starts to turn his attention outwards towards his neighbors, and he thinks that his next-door neighbor may just be a serial killer. Now, awesome. A lot of people are saying this movie is a lot like the Hitchcock movie Rear Window. Yeah, the same basic premise. But the thing that separates this film from that film is that above and beyond the thriller aspect of it, which is brilliantly done, I think, it keeps you really on the edge of your seat the whole time. And especially when you consider that it's pretty much a given that this next-door neighbor is a serial killer.
Right.
To keep suspense going once you've sort of already established what's going on is a tough trick to master, and they really pull it off. But on top of it, and I think the reason it really works is that Shia LaBeouf is such a charming, relaxed actor that you really love his character in this. And it's about his relationship with his mom, his desperation to get with this new smoking hot girl who may or may not be interested in him, his relationship with his father. There's a lot going on here above and beyond just the thriller, which you rarely see in thrillers nowadays. You know, yeah. It's got a lot of going on in terms of the characters and their relationships. And I think that really is what separates this film from the rest.
And the neighbor that they're spying on is a ball of meat?
No, no.
Oh.
The neighbor is David Morris.
Okay.
David Morris, one of my favorite character actors. If you watched House last season, he played the detective that would just not stop riding House's ass about his drug problem. And he was terrific in that show. He's terrific in this. He plays the next door neighbor. Naturally, Shia LaBeouf's character, Kale, his best friend and his new girlfriend get sort of roped into this game of cat and mouse as they're starting to spy on this guy. Bad things happen when he recognizes he's being watched. He hops into the car of Sarah Romer's character and gives her a pretty chilling message.
I know that you've been following me. I really feel obliged to tell you that I rather enjoy my privacy. You see, the world is, it's in a heightened state of paranoia. And I tend to think that someone as intelligent and attractive as you doesn't need to be wasting your time. You're not the only one who's watching.
Dude,
nice.
He is so creepy.
He is so soft-spoken and so mild-mannered, and yet he is the scariest mother effer in the world.
Yep, this looks great.
This movie's great. I really recommend that you check it out this weekend. Disturbia, that's my pick. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Hey, that looks like that dude that used to do that thing for that show.
What? I think that's that dude. Ladies and gentlemen, former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, has joined us from the big AM 570, the sports talk blowtorch.
He's a fag.
No?
How dare you?
Got something for you here, Money.
Yes, we're the L.A. Clippers.
Yeah.
L.A. Clippers. L.A. Clippers number one.
Yeah. I had
How's
cash.
That going?
I had cash on that game, allegedly.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Credits.
And you know what? It's not the amount, really. It's who you have to pay. If it's a quarter and it's the wrong guy.
Well, when I came in, I noticed Dave had, like, managed to dig his Clipper Nation t-shirt out of the bottom of his laundry hamper.
Like, he hasn't been wearing that every day.
I have to wear this shirt today. I know it is dirty and it has burrito stain on it, but I have to wear it today because the Clippers beat the Lakers.
Yeah, what the hell happened, dude?
Well, it's pretty much been consistent for the late. Well, this is the thing, you know, the Clipper Laker battle this season has essentially been who looks best in a Speedo. It's not really a great contest or one that's worth winning, but it has to be played.
It would have been nice had the Lakers won it last night.
Well, the sad thing is, for all those folks that really don't like the Clippers one bit and like the Lakers a lot, they probably could have ended the Clippers season last night. That seemed to be the theme amongst the folks that that worked for the Clippers, that had they lost that game, most likely no playoffs, that the Warriors would have got that eighth spot and the Clips would have been out of it.
Hey, Dave.
The Clippers are mostly in a must-win situation here in the last weekend of the season, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, just to kind of break it down, the Warriors and the Clippers have the same record. The Warriors probably have easier games for the Final Four compared to the Clips and the Lakers. Who knows who the hell the Lakers can beat these days? I mean, they could go 0-3 on these final three, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
You.
Hey, Sports Guy Money, and for folks who don't know, Money is, as I mentioned, he's on AM 570, which is the Lakers station that carries their games. He does the pregame and the halftime for the Lakers. Do you have any sense in being in the locker room and talking to the players? What is it like for Kobe to go out so many times this season and score 50 and not feel like he's getting any help? Is it really bumming him out?
Yeah, I think it does. I think the play, it's so funny, you know, it's kind of one of those things where people say, well, Kobe, you know, didn't involve his teammates enough in the third quarter, so they were cold in the fourth. Well, Kobe shot 70% and scored 19 points in the third quarter. So do you just say, you can't do that, sir? You just can't go out. It's really a tough balance to try to find.
Yeah, and the other thing about being a Laker fan is you know that Kobe can score, and then you say, okay, what he needs to do is involve the team. So he passes it to somebody else, and they miss a shot. And then he passes it to somebody else, and they miss a shot, and you go, all right, forget it, just shoot.
Yeah, I think Luke, Lamar, and Andrew in the fourth quarter were a combined 0-for-9.
Those of you that didn't see the game last night, here are the highlights.
A rebound by Pram, and that'll do it. Down by 17 points. The Los Angeles Lakers win this game. 118-110 count. I don't know that they've had a bigger win this season.
Fantastic.
I didn't realize the Lakers won. I thought I must have read that wrong.
Yeah, it was big.
That's for people who didn't see it.
That's good. Folks who saw it know the ugly truth.
Yeah,
that it was
unfortunately.
In reverse.
So Money, Lakers play the Suns?
The Suns tonight in Phoenix.
That's tough.
Seattle on Sunday at home.
Not as
That's
tough.
That's easy.
And then the the spoiler in this whole thing, you know, the very last contest of the season, which it very well could come down to.
Yes.
If the Clippers and Warriors win all their remaining games at Sacramento.
Oh.
And, you know, even though the Kings stink this season,
yeah,
they have nothing to live for up there. I mean, it, right. Sure, it's the political capital of this fine state of ours, but honestly, I mean, all they do is look to make life for folks in Los Angeles miserable. And that's really what it would come down to.
Money. Let me ask you this: for all the gnashing of teeth and all the sweat and all the worrying about making it into the playoffs, some people have suggested that it's a kind of a moot point whether the season ends for them this weekend or next weekend because they're likely to go advance beyond. Lakers or Clippers are not likely to advance beyond the first round of the playoffs anyway. What do you think?
I think it's probably pretty accurate. Whoever plays Dallas is dust. I mean,
yeah,
dust.
Dallas
They've
is...
got the Muppet for the head coach, the German dude, I mean, who just kills everyone. The thing with the Suns is they've just kind of, they always have issues a little bit in the postseason. Their series seem to go six or seven games. They really don't put people away.
But they can score 160 on a night.
That's absolutely. But at the same time, a lot of those are jump shots and they may not go down. And that's how they lose a couple games. So I think if they, you know, whoever gets that seven has at least sort of a fighting chance, kind of, but not really. You know, I mean, the thing is, you know, what do you want to do? You want to win championships or you want to get better? And a lot of you, oh, well, you can tank some games, get into the lottery, try and get this, you know, the 40-year-old freshman Greg Oden or Kevin Durant and get better, you know? So instead you just tread water and you're in that mediocre role that you kind of get stuck in.
It's pretty sad that Dave the King of Mexico and I have been jawing back and forth all season and really about two pretty decently poor teams.
Yeah, I think the one
mediocre clubs.
It's
right.
Really sad. I mean, 7 and 8, man. We're seventh. How about that?
If you're looking for a tiebreaker, you know we've got the wigged Brittany at Staples Center for Laker games. Yeah,
that's
so, I mean,
true.
Really,
she
I mean,
does
really.
Show up. That's true with the wig.
And the fact that her people are contacting Luke's people to try and get these two to become a couple, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you do have that,
and then we have Kristen Bell. That's all I care about.
Bam.
Yeah.
We win.
She was a Clipper fan.
We brought it up thinking that she would, you know, insult him.
Yeah, she said she had, like, season tickets or something, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing about Clippers. Season ticket holders for the Clippers only have them, 100% of them, because they couldn't get season tickets to the Lakers.
Well, yeah, or...
It used to be like that. I don't think anymore.
Or they just have some sort of character flaw.
They're just bad people?
And it really could end up being that. I'll say this, though. If you're looking for something the final couple games, I don't know what they created for Vladimir Radmanovich. He has a separated shoulder.
Right.
But the dude looks like Zoolander. I mean, it legitimately looks like Zoolander is the small forward for the Lakers when he is out there. So keep an eye out for the...
So that's what we have to look forward to.
Purple, yes. Post-game press conferences with Sam Cassell. Have you ever heard Sam Cassell talk?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing about it, man. You've been thinking I've been smoking that Cali Green, and we all know I ain't smoking that Cali Green because you said we were dead in the water. Well, we ain't dead in the water anyway, so why don't you go smoke that Cali Green out of that 3-foot bone you got, you know what I mean? Who relates to things by saying Cali Green? Quit smoking the Cali Green. Thank you, Sam. Please get your own show on VH1.
Well, thanks for coming in, Money.
Anytime.
And bumming us out.
Hey, the Galaxy lost last night. I figure I'll mention that, too.
The Lakers.
I mean, just in case I couldn't make it any worse.
The Lakers did lose last night, and the K-Rock microphones, unfortunately, were there.
Lakers!
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I asked our good friend and former sports guy, Money, to stick around for Showbiz.
Okay,
thank you.
Because I had a question I wanted to run past him, as well as just get his opinion on other things in the Showbiz world. But Money, you're a Laker insider. What do you know about this rumored crush that Britney Spears has on your boy Luke Walton over there with the LA Lakers?
I know poor Luke has opened every comment with, excuse me, I have a girlfriend. So apparently Luke's girlfriend is quite upset about the rumors that Britney is trying to contact him. There are three schools of thought. One, that there was a prior relationship between these two.
Oh,
and
really?
She is trying to harken back to the salad days before she met K-Fed, had two children.
She hasn't had a salad in years.
That's a good point.
That's what I heard. And when she was hot.
Yes. Yeah. And when she was hot. That he, you know, like he beat a handful of people too. That's one school of thought. The other is that she's just psycho and shows up at the arena for like a quarter She will show up for one quarter, make people move all over, sit down. She brought in a sign.
Yeah. No.
She had a sign that said, like, Luke Walton's the best with, like, fours in the corner. Like, some 10-year-old child would have made an art class.
It's like a teenage girl going to American Idol.
Yes. Sanjaya
makes me smile.
Yeah. She was crying when he made hoops. It's very disturbing. So, yes.
And she makes a real production out of it, as you said. She makes everybody move out of the way. She shows up with a bunch of security guards, and she's so obvious with what she's wearing. I mean, she calls all the attention to herself. It's almost like she just goes down there to get photographed.
It's quite uncomfortable. And Luke, how about Brittany? I have a girlfriend, and when I was talking with my girlfriend about what my girlfriend thinks about this girlfriend situation,
oh, no.
We get it, Luke. We get it.
He's become Doug Christie.
Yeah. Well,
well, there's another theory. Apparently, Brittany now is saying that it's her cousin Allie who has the crush on Luke.
What?
And so she's been bringing her cousin Allie to all the Laker games so that she can be close to her, and she's trying to arrange an introduction between those two.
Do we know about this cousin yet?
Well, she shows up with another girl and an older woman who I don't think is her mom. Maybe it's her aunt or something. But the great thing is her aunt shows up in a Chris Mim jersey, a guy who hasn't played in a year and a half. Whoa, Chris Mim! And he's
whatever's
in a suit
in
a tunnel, just kind of like looking at the floor.
That's funny.
Oh, that was just silly.
Maybe Brittany has another personality she calls Allie.
Ooh, her cousin. Ooh.
Yeah.
I like it.
My cousin lives in my head with me.
My cousin shaved my head. It wasn't me.
That's right. Meanwhile, the New York Post is telling us that Brittany may have better things to do than to pursue a new relationship. Word is she's been traveling to Vegas recently for soybean injections to help her lose weight.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Soybean injections.
But there's
injections.
Something called the soybean anti-fat injection, and Brittany's been flying to Vegas to get them.
And I'm guessing diet remedies that start in Vegas, always a good idea.
Absolutely. Out of the back of a van behind the Flamingo.
That's awesome.
Is the Flamingo still around?
Yes.
Okay. Thank God.
Where's Bugsy?
Still bad, but it's around.
Meanwhile, Kevin Federline, Brittany's ex, apparently has a new girlfriend. If you believe the National Enquirer, she is currently dating Lindsay Lohan.
Yes!
Kevin Federline and Lindsay Lohan.
Federline and Lindsay Lohan.
What?
This is coming to us from the National Enquirer, which says that Lindsay and Kevin Federline spent the night together at Le Hermitage Hotel in Beverly Hills after she phoned him and invited him over to talk about maybe working together in a film project.
Oh! This wasn't like next to a story about Sodom semen frozen for future dictatorship, no?
This isn't the Weekly World News.
I don't think it's The Onion.
This is a legitimate sources saw the two together. Kevin showed up with his manager, reportedly. Then Lindsay said, we should go talk privately in her suite. And the two didn't come out until the next day.
Yay!
Well, was this the kind of film project that so many celebrities are getting into these days where you have the camera with you and you make the movie that night?
The one that Vivid Entertainment will be releasing on the internet soon?
And you put it online?
I hope so.
That's awesome.
Well, she definitely knew how to get him. You know, L'Hermitage is the hip-hop hotel of Beverly Hills.
Is it really?
Yes. So I'm sure Federline's like, y'all, only gonna meet you up at the L'Hermitage, not the Four Seasons, yo.
Pop a bottle of Crystal, baby. Yo.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they got married?
That's how he would say it.
Okay. Yes. In character.
Yeah, they should get married immediately.
Yes.
And have children even sooner.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, he's so fertile. You know, she's pregnant. Is. She's gotta be.
Producer Lighting, get Ashton Kutcher on the line, please, to do one of those funny Kevin Federline songs for us that he does.
Speaking of getting guests, how come we always have crappy guests? We never get the good ones.
We're back. Sure, money appreciates
that. Man, Paul Tracy, I grew up in Las Vegas, and I like to drive.
I drive fast.
I have autographs at three.
Why can't we get Ponch on?
Ponch.
Eric Estrada.
Because we don't want him.
How come we can't get that level of guest?
Because
we're not asking for it.
Eric Estrada in the news today. It's about effing time. He will be honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Here we go.
I think that's all right. I think that's a good choice.
Freaking Rodney can get a star. Ponch can get one.
But why in 2007?
Well, they say it's because he's a shining example of Hollywood's great tradition of stardom, turning for the purpose of important humanitarian causes.
Sounds about right.
Okay.
Here's what he's involved with. I had no idea, but he's involved in as a spokesperson and or board member of the following organizations. DARE, the anti-drug organization, the Police Athletic League, the Beat Arthritis Campaign, Big Brothers, the Special Olympics, AIDS Project Los Angeles, the March of Dimes, Project Inform, and the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Wow. No wonder he doesn't have time to act anymore.
I think it's the other way around. He's not working, so he's got plenty of free time on his hands so he can volunteer for everything. We got to get Ponch on the phone, right?
Nope.
Say congratulations, Ponch.
No.
Yes.
I got a deal for you. Swampfront property in Washington State.
He's been selling real estate for a long time.
Come on, it's great stuff. You should buy this.
There aren't a lot of coastal communities available anymore.
Coming up soon, Me and Money, The Burning Question, Ponch versus John. Hope you'll all stick around.
Oh, what? Feathered hair.
Yeah.
Ray-Bans. Roller disco versus skateboarding.
Also, I wanted to leave a quick email I got from one of our listeners. Doesn't say who it is here, but this is not Amadeus or anything. Oh. This is just an email. Which I thought was funny. We're talking about the Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Sure.
Yes. And apparently, Cartoon Network said they would premiere the film on television on April 1st, 2007.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. So a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said, oh, this is stupid. They're not going to do it. It turns out that Cartoon Network and the guys behind the film did run it in its entirety on television on April 1st.
That's awesome.
But they put it in the corner of the screen in a box less the size than the usual logo that sits there that says Cartoon Network,
right?
CN. So as tiny as about an inch, high. And they ran the entire movie just in that tiny square in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen.
I love that.
Which just made me laugh. I thought you'd want to hear about that.
That's great.
Yeah. Maybe we can talk to one of the creators we're talking to next hour about that. Today's celebrity birthday is Ron Perlman from Hellboy and from Beauty and the Beast. He's 57 years old today. Lisa Umbarger from the Toadies. She's the bassist. She's 42 years old today.
I kept thinking all day you'd come to your senses and drop that one from the birthday list.
I'm telling you, this is what I have to work
from
with.
The Toadies.
Do you want to die?
I can go with her or Carolyn Rhea from The Biggest Loser.
No.
She's 43 years old. How about Garry Kasparov, chess master?
Yeah.
All right.
Take that, you stupid computer.
He's 43 years old today. And Rick Schroeder. From The Champ, from Silver Spoons, from NYPD Blue, from Across the Tracks, and 24. He is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got some great tickets for you. How about this? The playoffs are here. It's the march to the Stanley Cup. Your Anaheim Ducks are playing again tonight. Game two in their series against the Minnesota Wild. Round one of the Stanley Cup. Obviously, completely sold out. We've got not one, not two, but three pairs of tickets for tonight's game at Honda Center.
How about that? So we're going to not even do a drawing. The first three people that can answer correctly will win tickets for tonight's game. And the game that you're going to play right now is the King of Mexico smarter than a fifth grader?
Dave the King of Mexico. 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 Dave the King of Mexico.
Jeff Foxworthy, welcome to the studios of K-Rock.
How y'all doing?
Very good, thank you.
You know, if Dave answers these questions, he might be smarter than a fifth grader.
That's what I understand. Now, are you surprised, Mr. Foxworthy, at what a monster hit your TV version of this game is over there on the Fox Network?
All I got to say is God bless American Idol.
Yeah.
Because when that's in front of you, you can just videotape a turd people watch.
And some would say you have. All right, explain to our callers on hold that we're about to go to how the game is played, please, Jeff.
I will ask Dave the King of Mexico questions from the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade.
Okay.
They will need to decide whether he will be able to answer correctly or not. If they guess correctly about his answer, they will win a pair of tickets to the Ducks playoffs game.
That's right.
Okay. And the good thing is they don't even have to know the answers to the questions.
Nope.
They just have to correctly guess whether Dave will know them or not. All right, King of Mexico, you ready to play the game?
Yep.
All right, let's meet our first contestant. Is Dave the King of Mexico smarter than a fifth grader? We'll say hi to Teresa from Irvine. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Right. It's actually Trisha.
Trisha. Okay. I'm sorry. Somebody misspelled your name up there. All right, here's Jeff with the first question. Listen up and then decide whether Dave's going to know it or not.
Now, Dave, don't answer until Trisha tells us what she thinks you're going to do, okay?
Gotcha.
An important part of a person's sleep cycle, Dave, is called the REM cycle. What does REM stand for? Teresa?
Is he going to know it or not?
Well, as much as Dave sleeps, I'm going to go with yes, he does know the answer to this.
He will know. It's from fourth grade science, by the way. Dave, an important part of the person's sleep cycle is called REM sleep. What does REM stand for?
Rapid eye movement.
Look at that. He got it. Wow.
But I think Trisha is absolutely right. It's because it's right in Dave's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Sleep is his thing.
Trisha, I hope you're a Ducks fan because you're going tonight.
Yes. I named one of my kids with those initials, AMD.
Fantastic. All right. Hang on.
Thank you, REM, the band, because that's
the only reason you know it.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go to Robert in Anaheim. Good morning, Robert.
What is you guys?
All right, Robert, I'm going to ask Dave this question. This is from first grade science.
Okay.
First grade science.
You just say that to rub it in?
Just letting you know. Dave, if you add equal amounts of red paint and blue paint, what color paint do you get?
Dave, what's the, hold on, let's get the answer.
Robert,
here. Robert, yes or no?
I think you'll get it right. I think yes.
All right, you think you'll get it right?
Okay.
All right. Dave?
Dave, if you add equal parts of red paint and blue paint, what color paint do you get?
Orange?
Be purple. Purple, the colors you get. First grade question.
Orange.
What's between red and blue? Orange?
First
orange.
Grade question.
So not so much for the Robert then, because he thought Dave would know that one.
Sorry,
so,
Robert. Dave let you down.
My bad.
You could have gone to a sold-out playoff game, but Dave didn't know.
Purple.
All right. Megan in Costa Mesa.
Orange?
Brooke Hogan?
What?
Hey, Megan.
Hello.
All right, Megan, I'm asking Dave this question. This is third grade science for Dave. Dave, which is the fastest bird on foot? What bird runs the fastest? Megan, will he know the answer or not?
No way.
No way. Dave, what is the fastest bird on foot?
Mr. Foxworthy, I believe that is the ostrich.
You're absolutely correct.
Wow.
Dave. It is the ostrich.
Sorry, Megan.
Enjoy watching the game on TV.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Now he's trash talking.
Boom, bitch.
Whoa.
James. Wow, Dave knows something that a first grader knows, and now he's trash talking.
James in Long Beach. Hi.
What do you do, nephews?
All right, James. We have one winner so far, so here you go.
All right. Dave, what is the capital of New Mexico? Finger the king of Mexico might know this one. What's the capital of the state New Mexico?
James in Long Beach, will he know it or not?
No, he won't.
Won't know
he will
it.
Not. Dave, what's the capital of New Mexico?
Albuquerque.
No, sir, Santa Fe. Santa Fe is the capital of New Mexico.
So James wins because
James
he
wins.
Said no. Fantastic. You're going to the
Did
game
somebody
tonight.
Order Mexican?
Way to go, James.
Yeah, state capitals are the type of thing you learn in elementary school and then really have no reason to know them the whole rest of your life. That's a good example right there.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Elias in Santa Ana?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Very good, thank you.
All right, Dave, a chimpanzee's natural habitat is on what continent? Elias, will he know this or not?
I'm going to go with, no, he doesn't know it.
He won't know it. Dave, a chimpanzee's natural habitat is on what continent?
Asia?
You see all those monkeys and chimpanzees running around Taiwan, don't you?
No, I'm thinking in...
No, Africa. Africa, Dave. Africa's where the chimpanzees are from. Africa.
But Elias said no, so Elias wins.
That's right. Elias wins.
Right.
He knew Dave is not smarter than a fifth grader.
No, sir.
Nicely done, Elias. Congratulations. And thanks for playing the game. Thank you, Jeff.
That's why Tarzan always had a chimpanzee with him, because he lived in Africa.
Ralph, I'm calling BS on your movie beat, and I see what you're trying to do is you try to sneak in a film that doesn't exist because it's a little ha-ha that you and your friends have that people are going to now go out and try to find a movie about talking French fries. Why don't you just come clean?
Bean, and you would love it because there's guys from Pluto in it. There's Plutonians who play a major role.
Well,
yeah.
Well now you try to sucker me into going to this movie that doesn't exist. Ralph claims there's something called the Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theater. Theaters and theaters today, and I don't think that that's possible, but we got a guy on the phone named Dave Willis who apparently has something to do with this hoax that Ralph is trying to propagate on the world. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Is he lying to us, or do you really have talking French fries and milkshakes and something called a meat wad?
Yes, this is an elaborate multi-million-dollar hoax perpetrated on you, the general public. And when I say multi-million, I mean 2 million.
Yes, that's what I was afraid of. The Aqua Teen Hunger Force has been on the Cartoon Network for about 5 or 6 years now, and has had a bit of a cult following. And somehow you talk them into letting you make a movie, which is it's got to blow your mind.
Yes.
Yeah,
we did. We started making it, and then we came down the hall and said, "Hey guys, we're making a movie," and they said. Okay, cool.
Fantastic. Now, good luck with that.
That's how it got made.
I watched this last night, and I contend that you had to be high to write this.
Listen.
Or mushrooms or something, dude.
We do not use or advocate the use of marijuana unless I know that I'm not going to see the kids for at least two more hours.
Right.
Right. To sit or till 11.
Right. Yeah.
And someone else is holding.
Right.
Well, they say in the very beginning of the movie, during the speed metal song sung by the concession food, he says, your money's now ours when you come to see the movie.
That is very true.
We're going to use it to buy drugs. That's what they say.
That's true. We don't advocate that once again, but our characters do.
That's right, right, of course. Yeah. Sure. Now, Dave, I don't know much about your background, but how did you end up with talking food? I mean, did you start like conventional cartoon guys who started off with like little puppies and kids and things like that and then somehow decide that the world needed talking food? Or how did you arrive at this?
No, I started off as unemployed, and my idea for talking cars got totally shot down by every network. So that's how I worked my way to talking food, from cars to zombies to ghouls to spacemen and finally food.
So they said no to cars, and then they made cars.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I went back to them, and I hunted them down for about 3 months until I got a restraining order placed against me.
Now, for people who haven't seen the Talking Food show, give them a little recap of what's going on.
I think it's called Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Kevin. I think it's called the Talking Food Show.
Yeah, it is.
Although it should be extremely insulting.
So I apologize.
Called it the Talking Food
the
Show.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yes.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters. Well, what do you want to know about it?
Well, I'm saying for people who haven't seen the actual show on Cartoon Network, give them a little recap of who the characters
are. Give sort of a relationship between the three leads.
Well, I'll tell you, it's got William H. Macy, John Travolta.
No, it doesn't.
And
no, that's Wild Hogs.
Martin yeah, that's Lawrence. A different.
It's Wild Hogs.
That's Wild Hogs, Dave.
Nope,
no. Dave, right. Dave, yours has got the milkshake in it. That's the one we're
all
asking
right.
about.
It's got, yeah, Master Shake, Frylock, and Meatwad, and they all live together in a house in Jersey, and they bitch at their white trash neighbor, Carl.
Right. Now, who does the voice of Meatwad? Is that you?
I do the voice of Meatwad.
That's spectacular.
Is this the K-Rock?
That's what a meatwad sounds like, Bean.
Do you guys know Justin Timberlake? Can you give me his number?
The good news is, when Meatwad breaks out of the pack and goes solo, he can go into porn and won't have to change his name. That's an advantage there.
That's true.
That's true.
He does have that
that's
going.
That's right. My genitals are full and fully viewed, and that's why we got the rated R.
That's right. And they're beefy. They're beefy, too. Now, does it help you or hinder you in your efforts to get people out to see this movie this weekend when you've got the freaking mayor of Boston out there on every channel that'll take them begging people to not go see your movie?
I don't know. What do you think?
probably the best thing that ever could have happened to you.
Yeah. Big thumbs up.
Yeah, it's like I'm a superhero. I've actually got an enemy. Mortal enemy.
Arch nemesis.
That's fantastic. Well, this looks effed up. I have to be honest. This looks effed up.
It's completely effed up, but it's completely hysterical. I recommend it highly. I laughed my ass off because it makes no sense whatsoever and doesn't even pretend to. The movie starts off in ancient Egypt, and they jump in a Jeep, and they're battling a giant poodle with lasers coming out of its eyes.
Oh, that old war
that's
horse
all
again.
You need to know.
Yes.
That's not an ancient Egypt that I studied, but okay. Fantastic.
Right.
It's called the Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters. And it's in theaters today. How many theaters in Southern California is it in?
Many, many.
Many.
Many, many, many. I think three.
So a couple?
Three, maybe. I don't know. No. 800, maybe? 870 nationwide?
Oh, that's cool.
It's a big release. Good.
I hope they covered L.A., because it's such a big city.
You would think they would, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
They have so many movies out there, too. So.
And then Monday, you're going to know, or you're going to start working on Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters, too.
Yeah, sir. I'm going to blow my face off with a shotgun.
Right. All right. Well, so I hope it's the
good
first.
Luck with whichever way that goes, Dave Willis.
Go see the movie and,
help him out.
Let my children have a father.
Help save his life.
Exactly.
All right, Dave. Thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Hey, play me out with more than a feeling.
More than a feeling?
Yeah.
Coming up next.
Play me out.
All right, you got it.
Thank you, man. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Well, what could be better than a pair of tickets to this weekend's 33rd annual Toyota Grand Prix? It's happening starting today, and then you got your tomorrow, and then you got your Sunday. If you still want to get tickets, you still can at longbeachgp.com. Please enjoy.
All right, let's talk to Angel, who's calling from Northridge. Good morning, Angel.
What do you do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hey, Lisa May.
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm so sexy.
I'm very hot today.
Let's see you play.
What's going on, Angel?
All right, guys, check it out. I was hearing you guys talk about this morning about Lightning doing some commentating for the beer pong.
You call that commentating? Okay.
Yeah, whatever you call it, the rambling
screaming.
You got going on there.
Really, I think screaming,
yelling.
Well, anyways, I would think, as gay as it sounds, I think it would be awesome if Lightning would come by and host our beer pong tournament and also commentate on it.
No!
We have a beer pong tournament every couple of months, and we're down to the Tournament of Champions, and the winner is going to get sent to the World Series of Beer Pong.
But that would be horrible to have him there.
Dude, that'd be so awesome. We get him tanked, do some commentating. You guys could have it in the morning show and crack.
Yeah, see, the problem, though, is that then people get injured, and you go and you get your ears looked at. We get sued.
Well, I mean, it'll be at our house. I mean, there wouldn't be any liability, I don't think.
Those of you that didn't hear Lightning doing a little play-by-play for the beer pong.
In the air, money, free money, free money, free money.
That's as soft as he talked the entire day.
God, yeah. Angel, we're going to have to reject your idea totally. I'm sorry. But while you're at it, go ahead and hire Don Imus for the NCAA, testimonial dinner or something. You know, why not?
Oh, no deal. Lisa makes the first shot of the day. No deal.
No deal. No deal. All right, let's go to Daniel, who has a charming, charming story for us. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good, thank you.
Hey, I was watching this nature program last night on rhinoceroses, and they're trying to help them breed in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
So this one doctor lady goes and gets this big old plastic bag, puts it over her arm, grabs like an ultrasound machine, and puts her hand up the rhino's butt, all the way up to her shoulder.
Wow.
All the way up to her shoulder.
A rhino hand puppet.
She was just pushing and pushing and pushing, and finally she pulls it out, and she has this brown crap.
Okay, listen, we don't need that kind of detail.
What the hell's wrong with you?
We can all picture that. We don't need that. Here's my question. Why didn't the rhino kick?
They said they had it specially trained, and they were feeding it and stuff, too, so I'm not exactly sure why it didn't kick.
The rhino kind of digs it. That's why he's having a hard time procreating, you know what I'm saying?
I'm surprised they have a hard time getting them to have sex, because rhinos are always horny.
No, I didn't.
That just happened.
Speaking of zoos, please tell me that you guys saw the Korean crocodile yesterday bite the guy's arm off.
It was a Nile crocodile, one of the big ones from Egypt, in a zoo in Taiwan, took the guy's arm clean off.
Why was the guy in his...
They thought the animal was sedated, and they had to give it some medicine. And the veterinarian walked up and put his arm in. They actually have the whole thing on video, but they blurred it out. But they did show a still shot, and Ralph, I'm sure you saw too, of the crocodile there with the guy's arm in his mouth, just by itself, just hanging out there in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable.
That's a real... That's Mike's screensaver. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Wow. That's a little scary. Okay, go back.
They shot at the croc, and he dropped the arm. They grabbed it and reattached it, put it back on the guy.
Does it work
now?
Put it
back in the dude. They don't know yet, but they're going to find out.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That guy's got the winning story at any party he goes to for the rest of his life. Oh, really? You fell down and hit your head? Let me tell you what happened to me.
See this arm? Yeah. I got out of a crocodile's mouth. I recovered it.
Terrence in Tustin. Good morning.
Oh,
yes, Terrence.
What'd it do?
And you go now.
Good morning.
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
I just started working at this office 2 days ago. And every time K-Rock plays Red Hot Chili Peppers, everyone dumps their paper shredders on my desk.
Fantastic. It's like a hazing for the new guy?
Yeah, I guess it's because of what they did at the Grammys with the confetti.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
So they're recreating that for you. You have the nicest people that you work with that they would go to that much trouble to welcome you.
Yeah, and I just... I want to thank you guys.
You
for
bet.
Playing it so often.
You bet. Not a problem.
You should repay them by doing your John Frusciante impression when they do that.
And what would that sound like?
I like the Grammys. I play guitar.
I like.
Please, my friend.
Thank you, Terrence. Hey, speaking of amazing medical mysteries with the rhino and then with the croc story, let's go to line one. Let's talk to Ian in Lakewood, because this is something that I've seen on House, and I've seen on ER, and I've seen on every other medical show on TV, but I've never actually heard of it happening in real life. Hi, Ian. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What'd it do? Hello?
What'd it do, guys?
Hi.
Well, what'd it do, nephew?
You're calling about what?
All right, here it goes. Buddy of mine is a paramedic, goes on a call, a guy and a girl under 18 having sex. The girl gets nervous, her bottom muscles contract, and this guy's penis stuck inside of her.
Did you say it broke off?
I think he said stuck.
Oh,
stuck inside
of
her.
Yeah. Not much better.
Clamp on her, his penis won't get out, so my buddy, paramedic, has to go down there. And since the girl's under 18, she has to get the parental...
consent?
Oh my god.
Oh, no.
For the jaws of life to open that thing up?
Yeah, to paralyze your bottom half.
relax the muscles to release him?
Dude. Now, Ralph, you're the sex expert of the Kevin and Bean Show. You've done a lot of research into stuff like this. How does something like that happen? How does something get clamped like that where you can't just remove it?
The muscles go into spasm.
Yeah, she just crapped and pissed all over
it. Okay. Stories that go so badly so fast.
My God, people. I don't want to go back now.
Just go home now.
I don't want to go back.
Let's just go home.
I can't talk to any more listeners.
Yeah, that was not was not pleasant.
That's not advisable.
I want to thank all of our guests in the Kevin and Bean Show, and I hope they weren't still listening. I'm sorry if they had to hear that, but thanks to Speed Racer Paul Tracy for joining us. He is going to be in the Champ Car race at 1 o'clock on Sunday at the 33rd Annual Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, as we mentioned, Long Beach GP, if you want to get your tickets. Thanks to former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, for stopping by. Of course, he is ahead of and at halftime of all Lakers games on AM 570. Thanks to Dave Willis. He is the brains behind that imaginary movie, The Aqua Teen Hunger Force, movie film for theaters, and I think that's everybody for today.
Are you finished? It's a long race.
Monday, we have an all-new show. We have highlights of Charmed School.
Oh, no.
All the Flava Flav chicks going to Charmed School, hosted by Monique.
No, you didn't.
Lisa May's dog attempts suicide on Monday, live. Federleasy is going to be back. New song, Spider-Man 3. We're doing this all weekend long. We're giving you tickets to the local screening of Spider-Man. Plus, we're giving you the first two movies on DVD. And we're qualifying you for a trip for two to Paris to see Spider-Man 3 in Paris before it opens in America.
And they're doing this all weekend. We don't get to do this. They're doing it all weekend without us.
That's correct, yes.
Usually they give us tickets to go to the Antelope Valley Raisin Festival we're giving out, but our listeners don't get Spider-Man tickets.
Well, Monday morning at 7:15, we're going to do the drawing to send somebody to Paris.
Yeah.
And then we're going to tell you also next week how you can win Coachella 3-day passes.
All right, Coachella.
So that's all on Monday.
Good times, Coachella.
Rodney, why do you say Coachella? It's Coachella.
That's what I said, Coachella.
Well, there's no R in it.
The Bengals playing?
Sure. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Oh, yeah, crunch. You gotta have crunch.
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love it.
This one seems to be about to quit. I'll need another hit.
Our pal Cat Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around? That's what I do. Here's Survivalism, new music from Nine Inch Nails. Also, we got some Tool on the way, new Linkin Park, White Stripes, Pearl Jam, and more. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Roll.
Roll.
Another one.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just like the other.
You want to buy some drugs?
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Smoking doobies. Doobie Brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brothers.
Where's the one dark that joined? This passing around. But the one dark that joined, my friend.
Lunchies.
God, that was bad, right?
It wasn't great. And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
I really don't want to talk about it. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to comment on what happened. It sucked.
It started a little rough for me, got better towards the end. I mean, I wasn't jumping up and down about it. It was just kind of all right for me, man. I don't know, you didn't really grab me with that.
All right, stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.